listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Yeller, and welcome to another episode of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. I'm your host, Rod, joined as always by my co-host
Karen,
and we're live on a Saturday, ready to do some feedback. It's amazing we're still here. Mm-hmm. Can't stop us.
Can't still stop, doing won't it. Stop.
Okay. Also, just before we get started, I wanted to say thank you to a lot of the fans. I made a joke on my Facebook and Twitter. Mm-hmm. That was like, on this Thanksgiving, I just want to allow people the space to say exactly how thankful they are for me and everything that I'm
about.
You're
welcome.
And yeah, you're welcome. And I've made that status before just as a joke. Mm-hmm. But these are sweet, very sincere.
They took you seriously people. On it. They was like, bet.
Yeah, they really did. And I thought that was really dope. And it was very flattering to hear. And I appreciate that because, everybody has their own negative self-doubt shit. Everybody has their own, like, voices in their head. Mm-hmm. You got your own, doing this show for this long, you got the people that listen, but it seemed like they hate you, but they keep listening, but it seemed like listening. They hate you.
They actually are number one fans. Shout out to y'all.
Yeah, shout out to them, and so sometimes you just kind of forget to just take it in, mm-hmm. And I think that's the spirit of this episode we do every week with the feedback show, which is kind of just taking in the conversation with the audience. I think also it is a place for people that, respectfully have different opinions to hit us up. Mm-hmm. I think we've often learned and grown or considered something different or, considered it and went, I don't see it that way, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Through this process. And, sometimes I forget that this is an outlet for that, because all criticism doesn't have to be critical. Mm-hmm, all, the truth doesn't have to be mean, things like
that. Come on, a lot of people need to learn that fact right there. The truth does not have to be mean. The truth might hurt, but the truth doesn't have to beat you upside the head. Some of y'all motherfuckers just nasty.
Right. And so I appreciate that y'all have let us cultivate this space and participated in it in a way that really just makes us so happy and so, so mm-hmm. so humbled to be part of, for y'all to be part of everything. So thank you.
Thank you.
Black Friday sale still going on. It doesn't end till December the 3rd, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the people signing up and shout out to the people using Stripe.
Yeah. So don't forget, you don't have to use PayPal. You can use Stripe if you prefer. Also, don't forget, I should have put this in the email to the people, but if you get an error that says you're not able to upgrade yet, it's because your actual last year subscription hasn't expired yet.
Right.
So, you can wait for it to expire or you can go in and manually expire it. It's up to you if you want to upgrade to another year or whatever. If not, if you get confused, shoot me an email. Plenty of people send me emails, theblackoutist@gmail.com, and we'll walk you through it. So that's just for the people that want to sign up for that premium stuff, which I think, I think people will enjoy that. So, mm-hmm. All right. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
The unofficial sport.
Bullet ball
extreme. And it's time to do feedback. Feedback is where we talk about the things you had to say, about the things we had to say throughout the week. Of course, we'll get to your shout outs for the people that donated. We'll talk about the comments you left on our website, the emails we got. No voicemails this week. No 5-star reviews for this show this week. But we'll get to, comments, emails, and votes in the polls and all that good stuff.
But yeah, and I guess I'll forgive the 5 stars because it's Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
we deserve 5 stars.
Next week, I don't want to hear no excuses. All y'all motherfuckers talking about Happy Thanksgiving and we love y'all and I can't wait to see y'all. And when you come into my city, bitch, did you give me 5 stars? Why is you all up in my face?
Okay, truth don't have to be mean, but okay. Donation time. That's right. Let's talk about the people that took the time out to give us a little bit of that change. Miko H, thank you. Marvin B, yes. Marvin B, Nicole F, Michael W, Jay Full, Theron M, Early Days of Photography, Asia D, Solana S, Chriselle M. Oh man, I'm gonna mess this up.
Uh-oh.
Let's do it again. Let's do.
I have to do that sometimes on Keeping It Girl.
Every time I mess it up, I get a tweet and we get to figure it out. So, how do you pronounce this word?
We are looking at how to pronounce this word. How do you go about saying it? Ujima.
Ujima. Okay, there you go. Ujima Doula Services. Thank you. Adam S. Michael S. Tom W. Dana R. Bomani Jones. Rita May C. Laura E. Noel W. Miss Hathaway. Nicholas Z. Pete B. Renate M. Olivia from Chicago. And Miss Barnes. Thank you, everybody. Took the time out to donate. We appreciate donate donuts, whatever. Okay, that's what the donuts is.
I like donuts.
We appreciate y'all. Donutions. That's what Nick Cannon calls sex with his baby mamas.
Oh no!
His little donution for you. All right, let's talk about these comments. Episode 2449, the best of Christmas with Rod. which a lot of people enjoy. Got a lot of feedback on social media about the Manscaped jingle. And Manscaped officially came on board as a sponsor after this.
Shout out to y'all.
So I feel like either y'all were using the code and buying it, or they just seen enough social media tagging them and being like, yo, what is this? That they was like, okay, cool, we'll sponsor you. So thank y'all. Let's talk about your comments though. We got two comments. EVE says, in the movie Demolition Man, all the restaurants were destroyed except Taco Bell, and it became the number one restaurant in the world. I hope that happens to you, Rod, and your haters, except instead of Taco Bell, it would be Arby's left standing. Me and Miss Barnes will laugh and laugh. Yeah, what I think is interesting about you using that comparison is that that was universally seen as a horrible thing that happened to the world in that movie. It was basically their commentary on how horrible Taco Bell is, and that the in late stage capitalism would be pictured as this one company taking over everything, leaving us with no choices,
no diversity,
and obviously lower quality food, according to that Demolition Man thing. Now look, Evie, I know you think I'm being unreasonable here, but I promise you, if Arby's ever sponsored this show,
we got the meats.
I would tell y'all that it's the greatest food in the world.
We got the meats.
So don't give up hope. I mean, it's still a chance. They might be listening right now and be like, you know, maybe you should petition them, email them, write them, hey, I need y'all to sponsor this show. I'm tired of listening to Arby slander, and I know for the right amount of money, they'll tell me Pepsi's better than Coke. They'll tell me, you know, whatever. Cause I'll get up here and tap dance for them. I don't give a fuck.
Come on.
It's not a principle thing. It's just, It's just how I feel. It's just the truth. Ms. Barnes says, and if it hurts, I understand, and I'm sorry. Okay. But I have to tell the truth. Ms. Barnes says, Roderick, in the famous words of Bugs Bunny, this means war. I will sit on the right side of EVE and do the work that needs to be done in the name of Big Arby's. Go Arby's.
Did y'all write this back to back? What do y'all say? You send a letter and I'll send a letter right behind you?
Yeah, we were kind of close together. It was the same day.
I think that was coordinated.
Here's my thing. Some of my best friends love Arby's.
They do.
I'm not an Arby's lover hater. You know, if you love Arby's and that's your ministry, that's fine. You know, Nick, Jew, Reggie, they love Arby's. I talk to them all the time. And, you know, we all have our shortcomings, but I respect, you know, their choice in their food lifestyle and the way that I hope they respect mine. And while I do still feel that it's a sin against God.
Oh, Lord.
I would never judge them for it. You know, I just hope that. What is it? Love the sinner, hate the sin. And that's just how I feel about people that eat Arby's. But I respect their choice, though. I respect it. The poll was, which do you prefer? Because we've been you know, wondering about some options for people that, well, first of all, Anchor/Spotify was like, hey, we have some options for people to contribute to your show. And we, you know, to be quite honest, at first we was like, whatever, we're not gonna use them. But then it was a thing where I kept thinking about it in the back of my mind, like, maybe there's a way for some people to maybe try before they buy almost. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, maybe there's a way for people to put in on this as a revenue stream. But mm-hmm. Hopefully, if it goes well, it's a gateway to become a premium member on our website. But
yeah, and it might be some people, they might be like, look, I ain't got the whole, but I can put 5 on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so my thing was, I was thinking about it. I said, well, maybe we could offer like the donation thing, which is a thing they have there where you can kind of like put a little something on it and we shout you out. Mm-hmm. Or we can say, hey, $5 and you can join, you can like get a preview, you can get a premium show like once every week or so, at least 2 to 4 times a month. Mm-hmm. Of extra behind the scenes, you know, type shows that y'all wouldn't get to hear, you know. Mm-hmm. I know some people love the pregame, some people love Balls Deep. It could be a classic episode, it could be something current, it could be, you know, whatever. And so it'll never be like an old regular show, it'll be all be stuff you wouldn't get to hear.
Yeah, stuff behind the paywall. Mm-hmm.
Unless you was behind the paywall. And so we made that the poll, and the results were kind of surprising. So donation option, which do you prefer? Donation option where fans get a shout out during the donation segment. I won't be using either, so I don't care. Totally fine. You know, mm-hmm. no offense taken. And a $5 or less subscription option where fans get a random premium show 2 to 4 times a month. 46% of the audience picked that one. So they would rather get the one random premium show a month, for those that would use it, obviously. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 37% of the audience on this was like, I probably wouldn't use it, which is, like I said, no, mm-hmm. no pressure. And 17% said a donation option where fans get a shout out on the show. So it looks like the premium thing won. Mm-hmm. You know, and what, and keep in mind, some of the people that said they won't be using either option, well, they're premium already. So yeah. It wouldn't, what would that do for them? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. And the thing is, you don't have to have, Spotify Anchor. That's what I want everybody to know. Like, you can sign up for it. We're going to start leaving it in the show notes, and you can sign up for it, and you don't have to be that, because
I think it will email you. I don't even think we have to put it in the show notes, but okay. It's something where if you sign up for it, you get your own RSS feed.
Right.
It works a lot like Patreon. Now, the catch, so we are going to do that. It's clearly mm-hmm. the majority of y'all that would be interested in this are interested in that option. The same thing happened on the website. Mm-hmm. On the Anchor poll, 64% was even higher, because okay. those are your people that probably use Spotify, because mm-hmm. they have to be on Spotify to vote in the poll.
Right.
So 64% of them said they'd rather do the subscription option. Only 20% said they wouldn't use it at all, and 15% said the donation option. So anyway, here's the catch. We were doing experiments behind the scene to see if we can get this shit to work, right? And we got it up, we got it working. It was like, okay, cool. Now let's take it down, and then we'll announce to the audience. You know, this is like behind the scenes. Nobody signed up, mm-hmm. just me and Karen, just seeing if we could figure out this new technology. Well, apparently part of it is if you take it down, you got to wait a month before you can put it back up. So officially, December 21st, we'll start offering this $5 option.
Yeah, we've been reaching out, working with them, but it's kind of hard.
Yeah, they couldn't do it. Like, I emailed them, I did all the behind the scenes stuff. Their engineers couldn't do it. And I understand why, because technically, imagine we started this thing and people signed up, and then some, like an asshole, we just took it down.
Right.
And then it's like, well, hold up, I paid for a month. Where the fuck? How I don't have access anymore.
Right.
But obviously they should put something about that before you, like, it should say that when you like, I'm gonna take my feed down, because I thought I was just take it down, put it back up, and mm-mm. No,
they was like, no, you can't test it. It was like, live mean live, like, yeah. Like, they was like, look, we did all the testing.
So December 21st, look forward to that, because we will be offering a show mm-hmm. at least once a like I said, 2 to 4 times a month. Mm-hmm. I'm expecting probably once a week. We have that. We'll never run out of shows.
Yeah, at least once a week. And it's a variety of shows. So for people that was like, well, I want premium, but I might not be able to put the full, I could put 5 on it. We got you.
All right, so we did get comments. Joe says, if for no other reason than to bring the occasional gift of Justin into people's lives, let the fivers in on some. Sofa King says, would the episode have to be random? I happened to have some extra money when you were doing Memorial Day sale this year, and I was able to go premium for the first time. Before that, a premium subscription, either monthly or yearly, was outside my budget, but I would have been willing to pay between $3 to $5, for instance, for the episode of Nerd Off you guys did right after Black Panther came out, or episode 398 of Balls Deep, just based on a written summary. Have you guys ever thought about an a la carte option? Well, Sofa King, it doesn't allow us to do an a la carte option on Anchor and / Spotify, like this thing we're using. So it would have to be us picking something and then putting it out for y'all and being like, check this one out. To be honest, I'm leaning more towards current stuff than old stuff. So while we do have some classic episodes and I wouldn't mind putting them out, like trust, I think people would be like, oh my God. But, you know, we might lean a little bit towards, like, say, out of the 4 episodes a month, like, probably 3 of them will be, like, something from, like, this month. Whether it's Balls Deep pregame, Nerd Off, something like that. Yeah, because we want
those people to feel current also.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't, you know, if it's, but keep in mind, since most of them have never heard any of this shit, I think all of it's good. I stand behind the quality of everything we've ever done, but, yeah, so anyway, the a la carte option thing is something that is offered, we could offer on our website. But honestly, I couldn't figure out what I would do for pricing,
right?
To be really frank with you. And it's kind of a hassle to have to set up for each post, like this much money for this, this much money for that. So I just never got into using it that way. I think a lot of bloggers use their stuff that way, where it's like, oh, read my thoughts on this, $2 more and you can read the whole thing. But it's food for thought. Thank you, Sofa King. I'll definitely take it under advisement. I wasn't really sure how many people would want that option. Lakita says, the $5 option is not a bad idea, but I'm fully vested, so it doesn't necessarily affect me. Absolutely, yeah. Feel free to pick the I don't care option, because I totally get it. And then the comment on Spotify was, what is wrong with you, Karen? Which is a quote from the episode. But people chose to answer it a bunch of different ways. Let's go to it. Linda says, let me pull up a chair. It's all started, just kidding. I love Karenisms. She has so many gems. Yeah, I wasn't really asking the audience. I was just using it as a quote from the show. After I had played that Manscaped ad.
Because I was sitting in here listening to it for the first time like y'all.
Solomon says, I'm in ER because I looked at a picture of KD's ashy ankles. Lord Jesus.
Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah, them joints, like, they need some gravy on them. Like, they was not no lotion. You gonna put some gravy. But it was interesting. I saw someone float on social media that it could be like some type of skin disease or something, but I have no idea what's up with that. And could have just also just, he was ashy. Then he went on Twitter and told everybody, you know, he was rich. And I was like, that's a great response. That's, Lord knows that's what I would say. If I had that kind of money, I'd definitely be, anytime they roasted me, I'd be like, I don't know if y'all forgot, I'm rich and y'all aren't. And I'm ashy and y'all aren't, but I'm rich and y'all aren't. I can buy some lotion, the best lotions on the earth.
Come on.
You'll still be a broke nigga. You know, I would get kicked out the NBA. Cause,
yes, you would.
You know, you can't be doing that kind of shit. I need a vacation right now. I'm sleepy, tired as fuck all the time. Ugh, where do I start? First, I'm slaving, lol. Always working and looking for that break. Happy y'all are taking your time off, because someone gotta. Love y'all in the show. P.S. Karen's laugh, love it.
Thank you.
Rachel says, girl, where should I start? How you know how it be, says Akeisha.
You know how it be.
I'm ready for some time off, says Theatria. Far too many daily tasks required with not nearly enough naps in between.
Come on.
I'm still secretly eating my kids' Halloween candy.
Shout out to you.
Shonda said, Rye, you crazy as hell. Them songs is taking me out. Thank you, Shonda. It's interesting because so on Anchor, we're allowed, we look at our stats, right? And on our stats, it can even show on the episode when people choose to listen and when people like skip forward. And you know, and it, obviously when we run an ad, the anchor ad, people have heard it before, even though we just re-recorded it. Mm-hmm. People have heard it before, so they might skip that one or right. whatever. And I get it. I listen to podcasts. Sometimes I skip ads too. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to lie. A lot of people, not a lot, but enough people skipped my Manscaped ad with all the songs. And I just feel like those people don't get the show. They missed out on life and love, and I feel sorry for them, because that was nothing but fun and a good time. And who don't want to laugh at Jingle Balls, you know? Like, what, you too good for the show now? You too good to hang with old Eddie Kane?
Too good.
Michael says, I worked 3 jobs trying to build the life I want to have in the future, but in the interim, life is passing me by. Well, that was kind of sad. I'm sorry, buddy. Mm-hmm. Amon says, hey, it's me, Amon. Well, a lot is wrong with me, to be quite honest, but to save time, I won't name all of them. But here's a small one. I don't like eggs in my potato salad. Well, that is wrong. Zinzi says, actually, I wish I knew. Langston said, nobody has enough time to go through all that, so I'm just going to say a lot. I think this is Crease or Crease says, I love too hard. Three heart emojis. Harris says, I've been trying to figure it out for years. White family says, Canada's fonts are the black, bless your heart. Chris says, I don't use, oh no, come on often enough in real life. And David says, any and everything. Thank you everybody that participated and left answers. That was fun.
Thank you.
Let's go to the next episode. Junebug the Red-Nosed Reindeer. At 2 Christmas episodes back to back.
Back to back.
Ramsey D. Jenkins says, 5 stars for these holiday songs related to men's balls. Thank you, buddy. Mm-hmm. Megan Kelly. Oh, wait. EVE says, I think the guy with the black Santa Claus on his lawn is next door neighbors with Megan Kelly. That would make sense. You know, she don't think Santa Claus can be black. The poll was, do you think MC Light could have made it in rap today? Because she was kind of speculating that she couldn't make it because she dresses too conservative, and now the girls are dressing more provocatively, and that's what it kind of takes to get on the map right now. And so she doesn't think she would make it today, even though she did back in the day. Which, you know, like I said, there's some merit to it, and I don't want to dismiss her out of hand, because mm-hmm. I think we do too much dismissing the elder states people out of hand, because they're not on the most like provocative progressive thing. And she didn't say it as a slight to any of the women that are doing shit now. Mm-mm. It wasn't like, oh, because these new rappers don't know how to put no clothes on. It wasn't nothing like that, just her specifically saying, you know, even with my talent, I might not have made it, because a lot of this image shit, I just wouldn't have been that girl for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of somebody I was thinking about. It just reminded me back in the day, we had so many women that dressed similar to MC Light. Mm-hmm. Like, there were so many, you mm-hmm. know.
Yeah, they dressed down.
Roxanne Shanté, mm-hmm. The Queen Latifah, Moni Love.
I want to say Lady of Rage.
Lady of Rage, mm-hmm. The Brat. Mm-hmm. Like, over the years, we've had so many, and to a point where you almost, in a way, I can almost see what women are doing today as a correction and a rebellion almost against that. You know what I mean? Like, because a lot of those women had to really perform what we would term as masculinity to make it. It was a lot of like, I'll kill you as hard as these niggas kill you. I'll fuck you up. I'll rob your ass. And and there's nothing wrong with that. But it was mm-hmm. also that feeling of like, well, that's how you gotta be. You know what I mean? Like you gotta be the toughest woman in the crew, because you in the crew with the hardest dudes. And it wasn't till like Lil' Kim, Foxy Brown, yeah. and Eve that I think that changed.
Yeah.
And now I don't know that it'll ever go back or find that 100% 50-50 balance. You know?
Right. And even if it doesn't, it's now people can go directly to their audience. So she would survive. It's like, would she be like a mainstream star? That's a whole nother story. But would she survive? Yeah, she would find her fan base, because now you don't have to go through people. You can go directly to your fans now. Like, mm-hmm. you don't have to go through these other avenues. You don't have to have men approval. You don't have to have, you know, the labels approval or anything like that. You can basically be like, this is me, this is who I am, and people will find you and people will fuck with you.
Yeah, so like, you know, because someone did it just now. They brought up Rhapsody and it made me think, like, it is weird that there's just one Rhapsody.
Yeah,
because it used to be the other way around. Mm-hmm. I remember how much Lil Kim stood out because it was like,
yes,
oh, it ain't nobody like Lil Kim. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, you know, others follow suit, or you mm-hmm. just saw those other women like her get a chance, and then it would felt like, oh, okay, the market has, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 women like this. Mm-hmm. But for a while, it was like, you know, you was the only one, and now I think Rhapsody is the go-to only, quote unquote, only one for a lot of people to be like, okay, this is the one that doesn't have to dress like that.
Right. So that goes to tell you there's no diversity. And I don't mean diversity as far as like there's not enough people dressing like her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the poll results, on the website, like I said, yes, even if, do you think MC Lyte could have made it in rap today? Yes, even if she still dressed conservatively. Yes, but only if she dressed provocatively, or no. 62% say yes, even if she still dressed conservatively.
Yeah, I'm with the yes.
Yeah. And I think so too. I'm not, you know, that's not a knock on her opinion. Her opinion's her opinion. And she probably know better than all of us, cause we weren't living in her shoes. And I don't know how comfortable she would have felt in this era, but I think she had the talent, the skills, a unique voice mm-hmm. to make it. And I think a lot of things that are sex appeal and sexy aren't always just whether you're wearing certain clothes or not.
Mm-mm.
I know a lot of people that thought MC Lyte was sexy, you know, mm-hmm. Men and women. So, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know that, you know, I think she would have just found a different way. But I mean, I don't know if the industry would have understood. But now you don't kind of have to go through the industry. Mm-hmm. You make a splash on your own. You can kind of go around the gatekeepers in some extent.
Yeah, and that bothers the gatekeepers because now they can't monitor and get people locked up in all these deals and take a lot of their money. People are like, nope, I might not be a bazillionaire, but I got enough money to make a living off of my fans.
Yes, but only if she dressed provocatively. That's 12%. And then no, 26% think she wouldn't have made it today. So we got some comments. Trey says, oh, Lyte would have definitely make it because she would come with the lyrics and her powerful voice would overshadow the superficial shit of the music industry. I feel like she wouldn't have to dress a certain way, but I do feel she would definitely have to have the right production with her powerful voice. If the music is dope, all that other shit won't matter as much. Thanks, y'all, Trey. Yeah, I can see that. You know, yeah, I can see that. I can see that. I would wonder how the access to things like production and stuff is done and promotion in the industry, because it does seem like there's a machine that puts people on a certain path, and it's like, yo, you got to do this, 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 and this, like, if you want to make it. And there are, you know, artists out there that don't fit those kind of stereotypes, mm-hmm. but it seems like they keep getting pushed to the margins, or like they become like the social media act or the person you bring up to prove that, you know, to prove a point, but people aren't always supportive.
Yeah, and it's funny though, because it's almost like, how can I say this? It's almost like the mainstream people lie.
Yeah.
And the reason why I said this is because a lot of people that buy and purchase and they push these two are some of the same people that want the diversity. Mm-hmm. Some of the same people say it don't matter, but they're also some of the same people when it isn't cut and paste, reject this, reject it.
Right.
It's like, hey y'all, this is something different. Nah. Mm-hmm. And you know, people have kind of always been like that. It's almost like you have to establish yourself before people be like, okay, mm-hmm. you know, because everybody love Outkast now. But I was old enough to remember when they was like, them niggas from the South rapping, bitch, what? Mm-hmm. And they used to clown them, be like, what the fuck is this? Every time y'all come out with another album, it's some new shit ain't nobody ever heard of before. What the fuck they own? But after they became established and people realized they weren't going nowhere, everybody was like, oh, okay. Right. And so you can still make it, but you have to go through that process of everybody rejecting you. And the truth be told, people might reject you publicly, but rock your shit privately, because you know, you let them niggas down in Florida tell you a lot of their music niggas in New York rocked that shit. Like, they loved it. They would go out, the shit would bang, but you talk to them publicly, I don't fuck with that shit. But right. When you pay in the club, y'all check out y'all, uncle, that's right, Luke, thank you, Luke. Cause Luke has done, interviews, and that's what he was saying. He was like, our shit came out, would come up there, and they would love it too. But, you know, when it come to the sales and all that shit, it would be a whole nother story. So it's like it's almost like people force you to go through this ridiculous hazing process before they're gonna be like, oh, okay, you're gonna be around, so I guess we'll accept you.
Right. And I'm sure it's even harder on women, you know.
Agreed.
And you know, I was thinking about this the other day. We don't really have a counter example for elder statesmen in music getting older that are like elder. We don't have elder states women of rap. Like, we have a few, obviously there's not a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. We have a handful of men that have managed to stand the test of time, even if they stop making music, and maybe you see them on verses and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, but like making new music, not a lot. Mm-hmm. Nas, Jay, I'm sure there's a couple others that are getting older that I'm thinking, but not a lot. And yet, I mean, shit, to give them, in all fairness, Kanye at this point,
because he's been around a long ass time, y'all.
In all fairness, him too, but not a lot of elder statesmen in hip-hop, and definitely not a lot that's trying to talk about something. And I'm sure I'm leaving some out, Ghostface, you know, some mm-hmm. other, but man, I can't think of many women, you know, like mm-hmm. that we're like, yo, this person's 45, they're 50, they're putting out a new album. We get less, you know.
A lot of them have actually stopped. Majority of them have actually stopped rapping.
Missy put out a new album like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't.
It's rare for them to put out new music.
It's like women kind of like NFL players. So it's just like, mm-hmm. all right, well, I'm 35. I played too long. I'm out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Candace says, hey, Rod and Karen, regarding MC Light, I don't think she would make it today. Her content would be considered not sexual enough, not hood ratchet enough, not to mention people don't like when women are too lyrical these days. There's a reason why Megan Thee Stallion, Cardi B, and Saweetie's are popular as opposed to Rhapsody, No Name, etc. Sex is always so, and it's more, even more true today. The only song I can see getting traction for MC Light today is Roughneck, and that would need to be her lead single to even stand a chance. Yeah, I mean, technically that's kind of what happened back then, although I want to say she had Georgie Porgy too, if I'm not mistaken. Let me look that up and make sure I'm saying the right thing. But yeah, I can see that. I mean, I guess we have no way of knowing.
Mm-mm.
Obviously, because yeah, she did make that. Poor Georgie. I guess we have no way of knowing. And maybe it's just me, but I always thought she was so cute. Mm-hmm. Like, even with the fucking, like, mm-hmm. denim, I feel like there's a sex appeal there that's not, it's not overtly sexual, but it's, there's a sexual appeal to that, like, that type of woman too. It just, mm-hmm. maybe it come off different, but.
Yeah, and like I said, also, she would find her audience and she would be just fine, like, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, with the internet and all this, that stuff, it wasn't around back in the day.
Yeah,
you know, so you could have, it's a lot of artists that are kind of underground, we don't know nothing about, but they are making tons of money, they traveling, they, you know, but the general public might not know who they are.
Yeah, I think also with MC Light, the thing is, she was very lyrical, but also a lot of her songs were about just being an MC, and that's not a genre today.
That I agree with that.
Like, that's not a thing today.
No, it's not.
Men do it, but none of the, I don't know that, maybe Rhapsody, No Name doesn't even really just do, I'm an MC, I'm just rapping, here are some bars,
mm-hmm.
y'all ain't ready for these fucking bars. This ain't about no empowerment. This ain't mm-hmm. about no, like, I'm the baddest bitch and I'm gonna take your money. This is just like, you know, like Bahamadia type shit mm-hmm. that I don't think anybody's doing right now.
Mm-mm.
So it's definitely a lane for that.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, it's pretty interesting. People forget about rappers like Missy Elliott. She's very talented, unique, and made a wide range of music. Despite this, I'm not sure she would make it today either. She's a heavy set woman and doesn't really dress provocatively. Lizzo is a bigger woman too, but even she's overtly sexual, and I don't think she's as big as her peers. There's a certain, well, I don't know about that sales shit. I think Lizzo is a person that probably is, you know, I could probably look up the sales, but I'm pretty sure she's selling really well, yeah, because she crosses over into pop and kind of whiteness, not saying she does it like that makes her less black or anything negative like that, but
yeah, she moves units.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she was putting out some of the biggest hits in the world. When she just hasn't put an album out since.
Yeah, she's making money off of that.
Yeah, so I would say that she is as big, but it's but it has to suck because so much of her is so much of everything about Lizzo is like, but let's talk about her weight, let's talk about her body, let's talk about, and so that, you know, that is a discussion that even Missy didn't have to go through. Mm-mm. You know, and maybe it's because a lot of her work was behind the scenes, mm-hmm. and a lot of her a lot of her image was artistic in a way where it was baggy clothes, big super outfits and all that shit, but Missy was rapping about fucking a lot.
Yes, so. she was rapping about like, a lot of different shit, and the thing is Missy ended up getting sick, and I do think if Missy hadn't ended up getting sick, she would have continued to, I don't think it would have been a break in her career like that.
Yeah, so but yeah, I'm on Lizzo's wiki, and it was like her she got to fourth on the US album charts in 2019, so that's pretty big. She's certified platinum, gold, and I don't know what MC platinum means, but so that shit was pretty big, pretty huge. I don't see a comparison. I wish they had that on here where I could see if other people reach similar places, but yes, you know, yeah, Megan Thee Stallion looks like, let's see, that's compilation album. Where's just albums? Studio album. She was number two. So Lizzo four, Megan two. That's not, I don't know. I don't think it's, I think she's close. I put it like this. It's not some distant second for Lizzo, in my opinion.
Yeah, that, and you know how many people put out shit and they don't ever get in no single digits for their albums doing all their whole careers?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I was just saying what this person said, she was kind of like not as big as the other women.
Oh yeah,
I'm not sure is that far off. Like, is all I'm saying. If it, like, there's, you know, like she's mentioned Meg, Doja, and Cardi. You know, so there's a reason all these ladies have a similar look. Maybe they many had to achieve it through surgeries. Music aside, Coi Leray often gets made fun of for being too skinny, a tomboy, and even speculates she's a lesbian due to her look. Similar again, I do not think Lauryn Hill will be as popular today. Songs like Doo-Wop would be considered judgmental, misogynistic, and preachy, lol. Yeah, I mean, sure. I was listening to De La Soul today before the show started. All them niggas was like that. I have no idea why it stuck to Lauryn Hill, but I think it's because a lot of people get off in really holding women's feet to the fire in a way they don't hold men's feet to the fire.
Come on.
Like, De La had a whole part where Pasta News rapped about how women need to put on some clothes and stop being hoes and go home. And I still remember Tribe Called Quest, one of the lines was, ladies, make a form on your sexual drive, devoted to your lover, and make it thrive. Essentially saying, like, don't be fucking people. You know, Jazzy Bell by Outkast, you know, my favorite group of all time, the best group of all time, in my opinion. And yet still, you know, some of that shit was kind of fucked up in the, you know, as far as like the statement that they're saying, but today we wouldn't hold that against Outkast in the way that we hold that against Lauryn Hill, which I find to be kind of weird, because to me I'm like, either everybody should get a pass for that time,
right?
You know, whether they was well-intentioned misogyny or whatever the fuck, just everybody gets a pass, or everybody gets quote unquote canceled.
Scrutinized, but everybody want to a la carte that bullshit according if they like them or not, and I'm not here for that.
I think the only raptresses who will have a career today are Lil' Kim, Foxy, Trina, and maybe Kaya, but that's what's popular today. Y'all can definitely see what you're saying, because they was rapping about this shit. They are really the four mothers of a lot of the shit we're seeing today. Since WAP was mentioned, I found the whole debacle ridiculous. Megan and Cardi weren't the first to make a song like that. Did we all forget Kai's My Neck and My Back? How many licks by Lil' Kim? Trina's whole catalog. From what I remember, no man made them make these songs. It was a flip on how male rappers constantly spoke about sex for male pleasure alone. Same for Meg's Strong Thighs. Did everyone forget Uncle Luke, 2 Live Crew, 90s Miami Bass, Atlanta, New Orleans bounce era? Many women have been twerking and dropping their load for decades. None of this is new. Sometimes I feel like I'm in a bizarre world. Yeah, I feel you. And it was great marketing, honestly, for them to, for people to be uptight about it. And then for Cardi and Meg, especially Cardi, to basically troll them. I thought that was brilliant, and that's what made that shit even a bigger hit, is because they you had like Congress people and shit talking shit, and it's like, oh, thanks for the free publicity.
Right now those people gonna go and click the plays and all that shit just to see what the fuck you complaining about.
It's why I really like Lil Nas X, because he knows these people gonna get mad, and he just goes, fine,
the king of troll.
Oh yeah, I forgot. It is kind of odd how more sexual rap ladies are considered empowering and take control of their sexuality as well as being celebrated. Why is being explicitly sexual made to be the only way for women to control our sexuality? Yet if you're the opposite, you're considered a prude. What about those in the middle? It's never all of it, which once again explains why your Megs are stars and others are equally as equally as talented, overlooked, and not championed. As a woman, I feel there's an oversaturation of sex when it comes to women rappers, especially since there's nothing countering it in the mainstream. Well, I think we may be living through a correction to that time we grew up where, like I said, I remember growing up and all the women that were rapping, it was, you need to dress down, cover your body, and rap almost like a dude would rap, but not about sex and shit. You need to prove your lyricist. You need to prove you got, you're an MC, and you know, the men can rap about fucking and sucking and being out here all night and having hoes and shit, but you are not allowed to be, like, the hoe has no voice in this culture.
Right, and that's why Lil' Kim was so revolutionary. A lot of people underestimate at the time. She was like, here's my ass, here's my titties, you know, I don't want dick tonight, eat my pussy, right, and fuck y'all niggas, you know. Right. That, like, that was her whole thing. Like, you gonna get this body and you gonna get these bars, bitch.
Because a lot of the men they were dealing with at the time that were their contemporaries, whether they controlled their careers or not, a lot of those men they were dealing with at the time saw it as a negative for women to be sexually provocative or promiscuous or any of this stuff. And I mean, when you look around at, like, Ice Cube could not bring Yo-Yo out and co-sign her unless Yo-Yo presented a certain way. And if Yo-Yo was out here saying, like, yeah, I'm in the fucking and sucking and all this type of shit, Ice Cube wouldn't have co-signed her, because he's been telling the whole world, like, nah, good women don't do that, and I will fuck these hoes, but I will never, you know, give them a whole bunch of positive praise and shit. And I think a lot of women fell into that same lane. And then also I think it took time for people to get the confidence to do all that shit. You know, I really love how you never see the older women from hip hop shitting on the young women. Like, I think that's really fucking dope, because the men do that shit all the time.
They act like everything new is motherfucking whack.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is wrong with
like
y'all?
Like, it's an insult. Like, it's an insult that young niggas is rapping, you know?
Right.
And I'm like, they just carrying on the tradition and the legacy and doing it their own way. But, yeah, I think it's really kind of dope to see it develop. And I think we'll see, in my opinion, we'll see a pendulum shift backwards at some point too, because I do hear that argument that to a lot of women, they feel like they don't have a voice right now because everything is so sexual, everything is so twerking and this, that, and the other. And it's like, okay, so somebody's gonna end up creating a lane the other way. I think that's how all this shit works. You know, after the lyricist MC era, it, a lot of the shit turned to trap music and, you know, kind of like crunk and shit like that. It's always shifting. None of this shit is a complete picture.
It's gonna constantly change. It's gonna constantly move. But the truth be told, the problem isn't, in my opinion, isn't the rappers or the rap. The problem is society itself. Society itself, particularly here in America, has a problem with sex and sexuality, period. We have a problem with controlling women's body, and all it does, it just flares up in these other areas that we consume all of the time. And that's why it's a problem. It's like it's a more of a systemic and societal problem than it is a problem of the women.
Kind of off topic, but it made me think of K-pop. I think part of the reason is, I forgot to mention one more thing. Also with social media, the women that are sexual, provocative, and like visually stunning, they will always have the advantage when it comes to that.
Of course,
because regardless of the high-minded shit that people say, we all want to see the visual treat of somebody twerking, somebody. It's like how you can love basketball and you might think Joker from the Denver Nuggets is the best player in the league. We're not gonna see a shit ton of Joker highlights every night on social media because he ain't crossing niggas over. He ain't dunking. Most of this shit is just good passes and good crazy jump shots and shit. And, you know, that doesn't mean when it's time to vote for MVP, he won't be in the lead, but it definitely means on Twitter, it ain't the, if you look at the retweets and shares and likes, it's gonna be the other people. That's kind of what it is to me. For like somebody like a Cardi, Meg, whatever, social media is built for them.
Yes, it
short,
is.
Short, they find visually appealing. They lean all the way into it.
Yeah, they don't run away from it, right?
Yeah, and people just visually are like, oh, this is what I'm gravitating to. This is who I want to be like. This is who I want to see. Depth doesn't really work that way, right? It's hard to share some. Like, here's a 2-minute and 20-second video of No Name saying some real deep shit on this track. Like, most people are like,
TikTok.
I'm not doing that. You know what I mean?
That's like, no. Can you wrap this up in 30 seconds?
There's no shade to her. Cause I'm actually a No Name fan, even if I think she could be what kind of wilding on Twitter sometimes. I listen to her music all the time, but she ain't. Is she not a person you can be like, check out these bars,
right?
Like, check out this production. Look at how fine she is. Like, she's not selling that, and Twitter ain't buying that. And because of the breakdown of the music industry and the gatekeepers, it's really the fans picking now. And fans kind of want simple.
Yes, they do.
They kind of want, and that's not to say these women are simple, but I mean simple as in like look fine, rapping about the same shit, and for the dudes, rapping about the same shit, keeping it, you know, we don't want too much complexity, too much of that. A lot of people want that shit.
Yeah, that was like, I'm not trying to think with my music. Most people are like that.
Yeah. Kind of off topic, but it made me think of K-pop. I think part of the reason is it's so popular with 90s babies and Generation Z is because there's an absence of teeny bopper music. There's a lack of variety in music in general. It is not sexually explicit rap. If it's not sexually explicit rap, it's murder drill rap. And most R&B sounds like rap music. It's hard to differentiate between the genres in the last decade. Plus, there's no B2K, Backstreet Boys, Teen Britney, or Christina, no TLC, etc. But they have them in South Korea, so the youth have gravitated there. It could be true. I don't know. I haven't really followed a lot of the teen music. I talked to my niece about music a lot. We text about it, and she'll put me on to like a lot of artists that aren't like K-pop. They just kids from here, but a lot of the music is like either kind of emo, I guess is one way to describe it. It's some of it is kind of trap type of shit, but a lot of it's just very vibes music. And the super produced 90s shit to me feels like us digging into the nostalgia, because not that I'm judging anybody, obviously, so but some of y'all gonna take it as a judgment, but please don't be too defensive about this. It doesn't matter that big a deal, I'm just one person, but a lot of that feels like older people looking for nostalgia. Like, we miss that there's no version of Backstreet Boys. So then I gotta go listen to this K-pop shit, which is essentially ripping off Backstreet Boys or ripping off 90s R&B
bands. I just talking about some of the boy bands.
Yeah, they're ripping that off, and like I said, it's one of the reasons I don't really understand the Awkwafina shit, because I'm like, to me, these niggas are just as flagrant, if not worse, but we like them and we miss that kind of music, so it's okay for them to do it.
Right.
But they didn't grow up like that. Mm-mm. They don't know nothing about that. They didn't grow up here. Right. So they don't know nothing about black culture, but what they consume from over here to there and what some manager produced and figured out and put together over there. And we are just suckers for seeing our shit, man.
Of course.
And that's one of the things I love about being black. I'm a sucker for that, but it seemed like people are a little too uptight about that shit these days. Like, I love seeing how influential we were by who we influenced.
Yes, for the American, I'm gonna say the American Music Awards. I want to say one of them awards that Cardi B did. It was on ABC. And they did a New Edition and I want to say New Kids on the Block. Yeah, New Kids on the Block. And it was a fun ride. But like you said, it was that nostalgia. And in addition, I got to see B2K, which I've never actually seen them perform live. And I was like, oh, and a lot of the songs, I was like, oh, I've heard these songs before. But a lot of songs I've heard have been on a lot of our commercials here. Like, you know, like phone commercials and shit like that. So I was like, you know what? I might actually go, you know, check them out. And you could tell that they actually respected, you know, where they came from. They even knew like a lot of their routines and shit like that. And so I was like, oh, okay. But I'm like you, when it comes to the thing where people feel like we're biting off of shit, it's a lot of black people that love B2K and all, I mean not B2K, BTS and all these other people, but you'll turn around and say something's wrong with Awkwafina. What's the difference to me in my mind?
Yeah, I don't get it, and I really don't care to get it. I've said enough about it, so I won't repeat myself, but yeah, whatever, to each their own. Anyways, I hope this wasn't too long. Y'all have a great podcast. Compliment each other. I'm not gonna lie, I'm still annoyed that someone called Karen simple. Clearly they haven't been listening to her commentary. It's anything but simple. I feel like they may have judged her due to her accent, which is foolish. Funny enough is that if that person is American, they probably be seen in the same light. Let's not forget us Americans don't speak proper English in general and probably sound simple to the British, lol. Yeah, that's one of the few things that can get my goat is talking about Karen. I try not to flare up too much about it on the podcast or whatever. People are allowed to have their ill-conceived opinions of us. What we do is only going to get more and more popular and more bigger. So, you know, we're literally putting something out there and people are going to feel a way about it, but a lot of shit is anti-blackness. A lot of this shit is misogyny. A lot of this shit is just also motherfuckers don't know what the fuck they talking about. You know, you know, we was talking about that yesterday. Like I was, the Thanksgiving thing made me think back to like, man, I remember when they was like frying us on this message board, and it really had bothered me at one point, like a couple years back. Like I called it emotional cutting, because I would go and read that shit and it would really disturb me, and I'll be like, man, these people, just do they hate what we do? Do they think we're just terrible at what we do but they still listen or whatever? But you know, I just basically was like, people allowed to have their opinions, just try to keep it respectful. And a lot of this shit is superficial, you know.
Yeah, it is also something, and I think for us it has to do difference with our personality, because I'm like, I'm very, when it comes to things like that, I'm like, I've experienced enough life where, and I've dealt with enough people in my lifetime, in real life, who don't like me for just existing, and I've come to that conclusion that a lot of people, they just not gonna like me, and that's fine. I've realized, I'll put it like this, my presence and me just being myself actually makes the insecurities in you come up, which has absolutely positively nothing to do with me. So instead of you addressing your insecurities, instead of you going, what is wrong with me, instead of you going, what is it within Karen that's causing me to respond like this, you lash out. And so the problem isn't me, the problem is you. You need therapy. You need to go talk to somebody. You need to get some pills and Jesus and work it out on your own accord, which has absolutely positive nothing to do with me. And once I got to that point, my life became a whole lot freer, because trust, anything that you could say about me, I have lived long enough and have had my own self-doubts that trust. I have beat myself enough in my lifetime. And it's funny though, because a lot of times when people have all these varying opinions about you, they know absolutely positive nothing about you.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I just go back. I remember criticizing our bodies, criticizing your hair, mm-hmm. criticizing your accent, these things were so mean and so rude. And it was like, I hesitate to think anyone would say something shit like that to our faces, period. And then the other part that was interesting was, you know, cause first I was defensive and upset by it, but then as I was reading it, you can see the dates and it's like, oh, these people have been listening for years. These are some of our most loyal fans.
Yes.
And honestly, a download is a download. So if they don't like us, they don't like us. But it was interesting to think of it as who people see us as, and the theories and conspiracies that come behind it, you know. And to see somebody tell you, oh, you could tell that he hates Karen, or you could tell that she's this way and he's that way, and you're like, y'all have really put some thought into this shit. Do y'all, you ever go back and go, world, damn, it's been 3 years later, they still together, and apparently I was wrong, these mm-hmm. motherfuckers don't hate each other at all, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, it's never anything like that. And it's so weird. And it's one of the things that really made me very defensive of when people do this kind of takedown culture and pile-on culture mm-hmm. and against celebrities and stuff,
right?
It's one of the things that really made me be like, wait, mm-hmm. let me consider the other side of this. Yes. Because I have to some extent, a very small extent, I've now been on the other side of this, with somebody calling you a egomaniac mm-hmm. or a narcissist mm-hmm. or, and you're like, that's not me at all. Now, if I'm that way and somebody could say something that fucked up about me, yeah, it does make me think twice. Like, should I be on my podcast saying Travis Scott killed some people or Chris Pratt hates his child secretly? Yeah, I might err on the side of like, nah, I'm gonna chill on that. I don't want to be involved saying something reckless like that.
Right.
Cause I'd rather be overly cautious than too aggressive. Mm-hmm. Cause you can always get more aggressive, but you can very rarely tone down the shit you already said.
Come on.
And so a lot of that stuff, you know, made me think about that. And yeah, occasionally somebody will try to put some sideways shit on here. And like I said, it's for me, I know I'm a lot better, cause it would have been mm-hmm. a time I would have just been on here ranting and raving and yelling at mm-hmm. people. But some of that is what they want, because it gives them validation.
Yes.
Like, even us talking right now, some of them are getting, you know, validation mm-hmm. off of like, oh, some of the things we said hurt their feelings a long time ago and they admitted it. And some of it is, you know, to me, I'm like, what does that say about you that's the thing that validated you?
Right. What does that say about you? Because it says more about you than it does to me. And it's also one of the things, as I've gotten older, I realize this, people have their opinions, and no matter what you say or what you do, somebody's gonna always have something to say about you. But if you're not bold enough to say it to my motherfucking face, you actually don't matter. I'm just keeping that simple. If you're not bold enough to actually walk up to me, look me in my eyes where I can respond any way I choose to your motherfucking comments, if you're not willing to do that, you do not matter to me.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, I was thinking about how far we've come, because mm-hmm. I made a joke on my page about like, oh, tell me how thankful you are for me, because I thought it would be funny. Like, isn't this, like, obviously y'all get that I'm being ridiculous. I like, it's Thanksgiving and I'm saying tell me you're thankful for me, that's pretty funny. And when people start sincerely being like, nah, but for real, you know, y'all created this space and thank you for your show and I met good people and man, this community has been great. And it's a bit overwhelming emotionally and so sentimental, because it's like, yo, we did do these things. Mm-hmm. People have benefited from our silly ass show. We go to our spare bedroom, sit across from each other and record, and you know, while there's some people sitting around like, why aren't they putting on a fucking tuxedo and a cocktail dress to go sit in the other room? And why, you know, putting on a full beat of makeup and getting our hair did and shaving and all this type of shit to go talk to our spouse about bullshit for an hour and a half to 2 hours. There's a whole lot of other people that see how dope what we do is. Mm-hmm. And honestly, what it really made me think is just a lot of people that just never seen two black people that was free before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, y'all really don't see this often.
Mm-mm.
All our money we make is from the people that just love us for being us.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Everything we make, unless it's like an ad, which then we made because of these people and these people that listen to us.
Because of the people.
Every opinion we have is straight from us. Nobody owns us.
Mm-mm.
Nobody tells us what to do. The way we look is what makes us comfortable, and how, and we're so comfortable in our skin, it might make you uncomfortable.
Come on.
The way that we love each other with this type of unconditional love, you ain't seeing that nowhere else.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's not, and it's not really for you. I could give a damn what you think about my wife, because it don't change nothing.
It does not.
Like, that, you're not in this room with me. You're not in this house with me. You're not my life with me. You haven't been to the highs or the lows with us, so you don't know. So it's that kind of shit that I think about, that's like, yeah, I guess to some people it is shocking, it is offensive, mm-hmm. it is off the beat, it is, you know, this has to be, there has to be something wrong with us or whatever. And yeah, to them maybe it is, oh, they simple, this, you know, or this, you know, he's this, she's that, whatever, you still listening.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So we'll see you next episode. Appreciate you.
Yeah, we will. And it's also, and I've been around long enough where we've had people talk sideways online, and then you meet them face to face and they don't have that same energy. So nope. I know most people ain't about that life. Like, the average person ain't gangster. Most people talk shit online, they are not gangster.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I never thought I'd be one of these people, but some of it's just people being jealous.
Yes.
Like, I, like, hate to make it that simple, but that's just the experience I've had. I've had people that it felt like they wanted to be my best friend because they just wanted to be next to me in case some shit happened that vicariously they could sniff off of and be like, oh, I got something too, you know? Mm-hmm. There's people that think you go in places, you know?
Yes.
One of the things I have to give anybody that's ever been negative towards us in our show, a lot of them had more faith in us than I had faith in us.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean as a marriage, but as a show.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to give them credit. They saw where we were going long before I did, because they was like, I just want them to, they need to change this because they about to be this way. And I'm like, nigga, it's just us talking. And then I'm like, oh, guess what? I guess we did get some, you know, we are on HBO. We are on Spotify. We are, getting these opportunities behind the scenes and shit that you know, we are getting flued out and all this shit. So I guess you did see us bigger than I saw myself, because I never thought, and still to this day don't really think of my opinion as that fucking important.
Mm-mm.
There's a million podcasts out there and anybody can go listen to any opinion of anybody's, and yet somehow you keep coming back to us. And honestly, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly, when people talk shit, it's probably what make people go look at people's shit more. Like,
yes.
Oh, they did what? And then they go listen and be like, oh, this is a pretty reasonable show. I kind of like this guy.
And,
you know?
Right. And then we got a new fan. And, yeah, you know, so it's like, you hating, but that you end up giving somebody they new love. And,
right. And thank you, because they, like I said, even those people, they not stopping listening. So,
no,
thanks.
They not. And it's also one of the things, too. And this right here is just fucking hilarious to me. A lot of times I've realized people that are not like true fans of the show love me, like you know, like as the show went on, I was like, oh, okay, there's people out here and that's just for me. But for some reason, for a lot of the shit, it's actually all targeted towards you, and I'm an afterthought. And that's what I realized. Even a lot of the comments and things like that, it's like I'm actually invisible, you know, to a lot of them. And like you say, a lot of times they don't want everyone to be my best friend, they want to be your best friend.
Yeah, that is a real fucking problem.
Yeah, they they'll push me in the face to get to you.
Count your blessings though, honestly.
I don't want them problems. Like, I don't mind being invisible,
but that is a real fucking problem. And is very disconcerting.
Yeah, they have drop kick me to get to you.
It's very disconcerting sometimes. But I mean, like I said, it's thank you for those folks that say shit like that. And mm-hmm. y'all fans, y'all see it too. And that's why Candace mm-hmm. brought it up. And it just made me think about that in the light of yesterday seeing all those like so many comments about like being thankful for us in the show, and then just being like, oh yeah, that's, man, there's so many people out here that appreciate it.
Yes.
Why give so much air and so much time? Like, y'all, if y'all notice, we rarely talk about the people that don't like the show anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, it used to bother me a lot. Mm-hmm. Even the talking about like whatever ridiculous shit Twitter was talking about that day, I stopped talking about that as much. Mm-hmm. It just, I don't know. I know who I am, and I think what a lot of people heard was me creating boundaries in my life and carving out for me as an empath where I'm gonna stop letting that control myself, or just innately letting that shit make me miserable. So I'm like, oh, I'll cut this off. And I was talking about it because that's what we do every day. Mm-hmm. But I don't talk about that shit as much anymore because I'm like, okay, those boundaries have been made. If you want to go be crazy on the internet and be mad or be stupid or whatever, I'm not gonna follow you and engage in it. But you know, I still give my opinion when the shit rises to like a high level, like some of the harassment and shit you see online. But in general, like, all right, motherfuckers won't be stupid.
Yeah, and that's one thing, it's hard for people to understand. Y'all, we have thousands and thousands of hours of me and Roger's voices that people can listen to. If you listen to us over such a period of time, you have heard us grow, you've heard us evolve, you heard us, our opinions on things change. And the thing is, it's actually in front of people. Most people go through this, you know, there's a lot of 40 and 50 and 60 year olds. They went through this process too, but you know what? They did without being recorded. They did it without cameras. They did it without somebody able to press play. They did it without, you know, somebody able to rewind and re-rewind and keep them in that moment forever if they chose to. You did it in the privacy of your home. You did it with your family and your friends and your loved ones. You did it outside of the public eye. And so, because, you know, people can go back at any time and listen to this and these voices, they act like they got something. No, bitch, I said it. You ain't got shit. I said it. Yeah, I said it. I admit that I said it. I have grown and changed and evolved just like everybody else. And that's why a lot of times the disconnect between us and other people, because a lot of people want to take people's flaws and they want to hold them against them forever. And you're like, that's not realistic, because you won't even do that for yourself.
Well, it's also just that, it's that thing people have where they go, it's always value in criticism. And I'm like, you know who says that? The people that never get criticized.
Right.
Because you ain't never did nothing worth people talking about. Like, you're just the one shouting at everyone else about how they ain't doing it right. But nobody has any, you have no work for people to talk about. So it's easy for you to think you could have done it right. The same thing that made us start this podcast. If you think it's easy, go do it yourself. Mm-hmm. Go get big as us. Go get money. Go get acclaim. Go win your awards.
And I would be happy for you.
Go do that shit. Mm-hmm. And show us the right way to do it. Go dress up. Go, you know.
Go get your hair done.
Get your hair done.
Go get your hair done.
Go, like, whatever it is that we not doing that you think we could be doing that would make the thing better, you know.
Yeah, make go the read show, a book.
Go make the show short. Read all the books. Never talk about pop culture and social media. Do the shit your way. Mm-hmm. And let's see who's better. I challenge you. You know, write us 2, 5, 10 years from now and let us know. Like, hey, I did things. I wasn't fat like you. I got my hair did. My clothes.
I wasn't as naive as your wife.
I wore nothing but the best fashions in my bedroom. And and now look at me, a mogul. And I'll be like, damn, now. I guess you was right.
I congratulations.
Until then, just keep calling us simple and talking shit about us. But most importantly, keep listening, because that's the value you have is if you're going to be negative, at least be a download, because y'all downloads helped us get Manscaped.
Come on.
You know?
Every download count.
Joe says, Light would have made it today, assuming she was the age she was then. Now, it's not like the expectations for women in entertainment to dress provocatively started in the last 10 years. There's always been a road, perhaps more difficult, but still present for women who focus on the craft and didn't attempt to be something they were not. I believe Missy Elliott gained success in the world that had Lil' Kim and Foxy Brown in it, among others. I don't want to get all Bill Clinton here and ask what made it means. I will just say that if we consider Light's initial success level as having made it, I think a similar stature in today's rap game is not unreasonable. Okay. Miss Barnes says MC Light had, well, I will say this though, Joe, the only thing I push back on is when it was Light's era, Light was not a standout because she dressed so differently than the other women. Most of the women, especially from the New York, the North area, dress like that. It's cold as hell outside.
Come on!
And we rapping in fucking jackets and sweaters and shit. And everybody was just like, that's okay. And so,
yeah,
well, I think we can acknowledge the cultural shift. And yes. I do think dressing provocatively is something that started as a cultural shift for the women. The sexual lyrics and dressing provocatively did kind of start maybe like you said, not 10 years ago, but maybe like 20 years ago, somewhere around there. I think it did start. Miss Barnes says MC Light has strong lyrics, excellent flow for in her own style. She would make it in this day and age. She would be deemed refreshing against the current crop of women. Right? Oh yeah, that would suck for her. But see, why can't y'all be like MC Light? Like, nobody want them fans.
And she just trying to do her thing, and they all of a sudden you become a fucking mascot. You like, can I make music, y'all? Don't be bashing other women with my work.
Yeah, someone, one of the compliments for our show kind of had a diss to somebody else's show, and I was like, well, I'm not sharing that one. You know, like I don't want to be the alternative to some other motherfucker. I appreciate it, you know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
But I, you know, now I'm in trouble because all I said was like, I agree, I do, we are different now. Some motherfucker somewhere's like, well, I'm in it,
right? What I got to do with it?
When I hear NC Rhapsody, shout out to NC Rap Excellence, she reminds me of MC Light, Queen Latifah, Mother Love, Roxanne, Shantae, Salt Pepper, just to name a few. Yeah, she named a lot of tracks after them and stuff. Back then, it was the lyrics, the flow, the style. A lot of women rappers then were rocking the tomboy style for whatever reason. My guess it was to show that they could rap just as good or better than their male counterparts. Later on, as time progressed, they could let their hair down, dress more feminine, but the raps were still on point. Yeah, that is true. That was kind of a trajectory. And for the women that did stick around a little bit longer, you did see their softer sides eventually. So yeah, I feel you on that. That makes sense.
Well, I tell you one thing. I never want to be a rapper, but I tell you one thing. I want to get my hair cut like MC Light and Salt and Pepper. And I did, honey. That one side above your ear, and you swoop around on the other side longer. You can tell me shit.
Lakita says on the poll, I'm definitely biased for my love of MC Light. That's not a great source. Yeah, like I said, it's just an interesting thought conversation. And then the Spotify poll was very similar. 63% said she could make it even if she still dressed conservatively. 9% said yes, but only she dressed provocatively. And 29% just said flat out no. The question on Spotify was Black Reindeer names. Go. David says Spades, Princey, Cash, and Raekwon.
Talk Pit Pat 21.
Aaron Gullidge says Prince Xavius Jackson.
That's hilarious.
Two people in a row who I don't think know each other and put Pookie. So we got two Pookies on the list.
I guess Pookie making the list.
Oh heavens, Kevin says Dashawn.
Not Dashawn!
Don C, Prancy, Jaden, Comet, Cupidisha, and Donnell and Bliss Xavius, but do you recall the most annoying reindeer of all? Kai Rudolph Irvin, the reluctant nose reindeer.
Oh no!
Not Kai Rudolph. Calvin says Daisy. Why does Calvin do Danny Black?
He owns the McDonald's.
On Calvin, on Blitzen. Ramsey's
during the other time of the year he run his McDonald's corporations.
Ramsey says Dirk Dasher. Tiffany says Lamont. Rudisha the Redbone Reindeer. Shout out to colorism. Liz Lil Uzi Rider says Miss Barnes. Deshaun says Kalen. Russell says Cecile. Cecile, I never really would have equated that with just blackness. Okay. Victoria says Rain Dante.
That's a good one.
like Scooter, Scruffy, Remy, Portia, little name here, and Rudolph Finney. Oh yeah, little, yeah, like little Prancer or whatever. Day Day,
that's a good one.
There's Comet, Cupid, Donovan, and Blitzen.
Not Donovan.
Donovan is, that's a sneaky good one. That can replace Donner. Three Slay Mafia, says Solomon.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yes, MC Light is literally a throwback to Tierra Whack Erasity. Okay, that's, that person's off topic. I'm not pinning his comment. Olivia says, can't forget Leroy the Lazy Eye Reindeer, except
oh, no!
If it's one of the racist Santa's reindeer, he would just be Lazy Leroy. Linda says, Rutavius, Blitz Marcus, and the answer. When I said this statement out loud, my nephew got so excited to help with the names. Shout out to your nephew. And Roger says Pookie. So Pookie was the number one.
Mm-hmm.
Pookie was big in the streets. All right, let's go to the final episode of the week. We had episode 2451, The Dick Pick Bandit. And we had two comments. Let's see, EVE left both comments, which says, I don't know why you singing in Polish about cocaine was, oh, why that cactus singing in Polish about cocaine was so funny to me, but imagine somewhere in Russia there's a toy cat singing wet ass pussy, right? could be,
and the people have no idea what that cat is singing.
I do want to know the other side of this now, because it's got to be some places where
I didn't think about that, where English is not their first language, so they just, you know, they got some shit and it's just saying random shit and they don't know.
And copyright laws are not the same.
No, so they're not over there. Mm-mm.
It's gotta be something. Alright, and the poll for, oh, I'm sorry, the next episode was, why did I close that? I must have closed that tab. Oh yeah, 2451 The Dick Pic Bandit. So the poll for this episode was, do you think Dave Chappelle is done making LGBTQ jokes? Mm-mm. Yes, this time he's really, really done. Or, of course not. He'll never stop. Karen?
Can't stop, won't stop.
All right. So, this time, the results of the poll. 93% said, of course, he'll never stop.
That number don't went up.
And 7% said, no, this time he's really, really done.
Y'all going to be disappointed again.
Which, honestly, if y'all in the 7% haven't given us money or something, like, how are you breathing? How do you make your rent? How you get a job? How do you get paid? Because that level of gullibility, I need to harness that and put it on something. You know, I said from day fucking one, when I watched that special and got done, was like, man, it's sad because I already see the path this dude is gonna go down, and he's gonna be talking about this shit for a while. He's already been talking about it for 3 years, but one of the major defenses of the special was he said he's done talking about it, and every last one of those people sounds like a fool, and they took his word on all of that shit in the special, like he's the only arbiter and he's a reliable source. Well, he's right here spitting in your face saying like, no, I'm not done talking about it. He just had a thing where he went to the school, Duke Ellington School, and basically, you know, made it seem like those kids were wrong and they owe him. He was like, I was, you know, hoping to basically get their apology, basically, not, you know, paraphrasing, but that's the way this sounds like it came off, was like, I'm trying to get y'all the ones that owe me an apology for doing me dirty. So yeah, man, it's, you know, I don't think he's done talking about this by a long shot, and I think it's the only thing he has to talk about because it doesn't seem like he got a lot of jokes about anything happening right now.
Mm-mm.
And a lot of people are gullible and stupid enough to think that what he's doing is punching the bullies of trans people who you quote unquote can't say nothing bad about, which is literally one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard in my life. Mm-hmm. We could do a 180 today on our show, turn our show into some transphobic ass, like, we talking bad about people's bodies and shit. We bringing people on here asking them invasive questions about their bodies and questioning their humanity and their personhood and all this shit, and we probably get more support than we get now.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's weird that all these people have convinced themselves that their very mainstream ideology of being transphobic is the position of the underdog, and I hate to see a man that I think is brilliant take part in that, and I think it's beneath him, even though I guess nothing's beneath a person that's doing what they're doing, but I do think it's beneath him, and he's convinced that he will be proven right, and it's just a discussion and it's just a conversation, and none of this shit that where all these right-wing Republicans are lauding him, celebrating him, and saying I agree wholeheartedly with him. The same right-wing Republicans that don't give a fuck about his black life or mine or yours, the same right-wing Republicans that think that, you know, like something was wrong with us for not wanting for wanting justice for Judge Floyd, the same people that think these racial protests are looting and rioting, those people, same people trying to overthrow the fucking country and do an insurrection, think Dave Chappelle is their hero, and he don't think there's nothing in his message that could be fucked up. And I think that's sad. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, on the Spotify, the poll was even bigger. 100% of people said he's never gonna stop. So shout out to Spotify.
They was like, no.
Y'all get it, honestly. So yeah, we'll see. Anyway, so we had some comments. Joe says, Dave's in jerk mode right now. He's in his feelings because he got called out for those jokes. I think this might be the first time Dave has received pushback from material and his ego is bruised. He can't get past his indignation to begin to understand where this concern is coming from. Ironically, if he could, I bet there's some really good material there about that the realization. Instead, he's taking the sad boy route, whining about changes in the culture in front of an even ever ashier crowd of onlookers. Yeah, man. You know, like, that's one thing I definitely have to say is, like, I think part of my annoyance with this is I was such a big fan.
Right.
And it's just like, oh, okay. Well, and I don't think parasocial relationships where it's like, I'm a fan, you owe me. I don't look at it like that. I look at it like I saw a person that had potential. And still does. Let's be frank. I mean, you're not dead. You could wake up tomorrow and be like, oh, okay, I see what you're saying. But I saw a dude that, and still is that guy that made some of the most brilliant, funniest, most poignant points, period, to me. And yeah, and to know he's capable of that, but then he's piling around with Joe Rogan and doing a lot of like cancel culture is the problem shit. It's like, okay, all right, well, that's kind of that same bullshit I can get anywhere. There's nothing special about that kind of comedy to me.
Nothing unique about it.
EV says, I admit in your very first poll I voted yes, he's done, but I learned my lesson by the time you posted the second poll the second time, and I voted no. And I voted no this time around. Dave is going out super sad. I appreciate you admitting it, because only the numbers are only three people voted yes, but those people never write why they think he's done. And I think they know he's not, and that's why they don't want to put their name to it. Miss Barnes says, nah, he's on that double down drug at the moment. The hope is that the folks that were in his corner are now seeing the comedy hill that he wants to die on as the realest graveyard of no return. And Trey says, nah, he thinks he's white now. So he is doing that bullshit ass thing where he hides behind a fake free speech flag that excuses comments, which is complete and utter bullshit. In the end, I just agree with what Cat Williams said on the podcast about cancel culture. Yeah. And I just, for the record, I don't think other comedians are calling him out or really even necessarily need to. I don't think it's that type of situation. I understand why a comedian wouldn't necessarily feel like they needed to shut him down as much as they could just say, I'm going to use my voice to say I disagree with him. Obviously, he got the right to say it. Nobody can fucking stop somebody from getting on the stage and saying whatever jokes they want. But let's be honest, there's more pushback with certain shit. There are no white comics doing nigger jokes right now.
Mm-mm.
There is no blackface comic. that shit did used to be ubiquitous. Mm-hmm. What changed? Why is it somebody, you know, and I, you know, like I said, that Marc Maron episode that I suggested y'all listen to a while ago.
It's eye-opening.
It's so good because it's like, that was a time when the spoil sports were the ones going, hey man, isn't it fucked up to do blackface and make nigger jokes? Like, don't y'all think that's over the, and they would be like, y'all are too, this political correct bullshit.
The same excuse.
Is fucking up my comedy, and what about my freedom of speech? So. And I'm, you know, and I'm a good person. I'm not the one lynching these niggers. I'm just making mm-hmm. jokes about it.
Mm-hmm. And not only for us Irish people, they used to have a bunch of Irish jokes. The Irish people went in there and started throwing eggs at them niggers. What y'all gonna do is stop these jokes.
Right. Right. So the anchor question was, what's the most underrated black Thanksgiving saying? You know, a lot of people say it's, you know, a lot of people's favorite black Thanksgiving saying, as y'all have seen on social media, is always, who made the potato salad? I get it. You know, that's a good one. That's a good one. It's a classic. I don't know how before social media and the internet, black people all had the same fucking family experience. It's crazy when you think about it. But mine has always been, and I think it's underrated, but it's, is there pork in this?
Ah, that's a good one.
That's every Thanksgiving, every family event I've ever had. There's always that one uncle or aunt that don't dine on the swine, and they look at the greens or whatever, and they mm-hmm. gotta stop you. And now hold on, nephew, let me ask you, is it poking them greens? And you were like, yeah, she put a little, see, I don't mess with that swine. Mm-mm.
You be like, I use turkey. All right. See, this is why I love, this is why you're my favorite niece.
Black people love two things the most, in my experience. Number one, to tell you that they don't know something.
That's what you pick at me.
Karen is the prime example.
I am the queen of I don't know.
Loves to not know. Spend 5 minutes telling you how much she don't know.
I sure the hell will.
It's the okay. And then the other one is to tell you if they don't eat pork. Oh, nobody's ever asked you. We don't give a fuck. We don't care. It's gonna be in your bio on social media. You gonna wear a t-shirt to the cookout that say it. Every dishes that don't even have pork in it, they who ate this lemon pound cake? It got pork in it because I don't mess with that swine. We get it, nigga. Damn, congratulations, you off the swine. Oh, let me guess, you don't like bacon. We get it, you're the one. Fuck,
I guess that's how white people feel when their friend who's like vegan step in there and they be like, nigga, we okay, everybody know you're vegan.
Is it? I don't know because I've never really kicked it with that many vegans, but I know for a fact niggas that don't eat pork love to tell you they don't eat pork. God damn, it's like, that is unclogged arteries and a longer life with lower blood pressure not enough of a win for you?
You're gonna outlive us anyway.
You gotta come and gloat in front of the rest of us that with your seasonless shit. Like, we get it, you don't eat pork. Damn. Anyway. So I asked them what the most, what their most underrated black Thanksgiving saying is. Let's go. Josh says, who made the potato salad macaroni? You know, I knew everybody was going to say that one. Who made the potato salad? Who made the potato salad? Ooh, this is a good one. Ishaya says, how long y'all staying?
Yes! Oh, I know another one. What time it start?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That's another one. Who gonna be there?
Who all gonna be there? Yep. Take some of this home with you. It's a great, all-time great. It is. It is. My parents made us take some pumpkin pie, some sweet potato pie. Right. Home.
Sometimes you'd be like, I know I'm not gonna eat this tomorrow, but I guess I wrap it up and take it home.
I say that every time because I'm full, and then I get home and it'd be like 10, 11 o'clock at night. I'll be like, macaroni and cheese and turkey still in there.
That's what the hell I be eating on.
Yeah, I definitely went in there and warmed up my plate.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
I was like, you know what? That dressing would be good right about now. So they know better than me.
Come
when,
on.
When you full though, you be like, food.
Yeah, cause you full. Yeah. So you
get this out of my face. And then you get home and be like, man, that motherfucking pie would be banging right
delicious.
Now.
Delicious. I'm so enough glad that they was like, y'all take some of this home.
Yeah. I'm gonna microwave some of that pie after the show.
Mm-hmm.
Is this sweet potato a pumpkin pie? Yes, Kaylin. You get the show.
That's a good one. And I had to finally ask my mama because that shit was annoying. sweet potato pie, the orange is a darker colored orange than pumpkin. I had to learn that shit the hard way because it's all fucking orange.
And if I still ask.
And if you don't know the difference, you end up biting into that shit and be highly disappointed when you got your mouth tuned up for some sweet potatoes and some motherfucking pumpkin.
Right. I think pumpkin pie and oatmeal raisin cookies both get unfairly hated on because of the deception.
The trick, yeah.
And it's not their fault necessarily, but the anger that you have when you are all set to eat one thing and you bite into it and it's something else.
It's the disappointment.
It's very irrational. It's like that 14 seconds.
Irrational.
It's like that 14 seconds when you look in the bag after you leave a fast food place and they didn't put your sauce in there or you got the wrong order. The amount of, like, that's why I don't want a gun, because like, oh, I shoot everybody in this motherfucker for 14 seconds. For 14 seconds, like, they disrespected me. I take 7 murder charges.
I take this personally, and it's like, it's nothing personal against you.
I don't care if it's kids on the McDonald's playground. Everybody gotta get it today, because hot mustard wasn't in the bag. Well, I got some hot lead for your ass, and then it calms down. You're like, Rod, you're an adult, calm down. You have
an adult
hot
brain.
Mustard sauce at home, or whatever the
yes.
fuck.
But, get your shit together, sir.
Right, but that's how it feel when you eat like you bite into a cookie and be like, this ain't no chocolate. This is, oh, man, fuck this cookie and fuck everybody. Where's yeah. my gun?
Yeah, and the thing is, like you say, it's not the I don't mind pumpkin pie and I don't mind oatmeal raisin cookies. I don't mind them.
Yeah.
But if I know that's what it is, I'm good.
Yeah,
the
I would try.
That I don't know.
I'll definitely eat some. If you tell me like, hey, man, I made some pumpkin pie. You want some? Yes. But if I just in the kitchen like, oh, sweet potato, and I
yes!
cut it through it, it's like, oh, fuck you, nigga. You ain't here trying to pass off pumpkin and sweet potatoes?
Right. You should have had a sign.
Who the fuck you think you playing with? You like,
yes.
You got the
oh,
mic.
Your drilling start flowing.
You got they collar jacked up you like in your arms and pushing them up against a wall.
Right. Like, you trying to trick me?
But it's your grandmama and shit. Like, nigga, you trying to play me? Who the fuck you think you dealing with, grandma? That is sweet. That's not sweet potatoes. And like, but anyway. That's why you don't have guns. Miss Barnes says, where to drink at? That's another classic.
Another one is, particularly if this person is late, who's supposed to bring the plates? Because you know, a lot of times they make sure the person who bring the plates, they make sure that nigga's the one that shows up early.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make the bring the plate or bring an ice person the late niggas.
You gonna walk past me and say and not say hi?
That yes. is a good one.
That's a classic. That's a classic. And it always be that one.
Old people.
It be that one great aunt you don't even recognize and shit.
Right.
Like, you really gonna walk past me and not say hi? You like, I have no idea who you are.
Mm-hmm. They calling you by your whole government name. You be like, I guess you know me. Okay.
Right.
Sorry to this man.
And like, I've been knowing you since you was this small. That's
mm-hmm.
another one.
Mm-hmm. Just
Karen like- poured that out on my niece this week. She just couldn't wait to tell her. When you was just tiny, I was like, oh, Lord Jesus.
Because it was the purpose behind the story.
Mm-hmm. I was like, Layla, you're at that age now. Everybody, because Layla's a very tall girl. Mm-hmm. And so now everything's going to be, oh, Layla, I remember when you was just as high.
This is my first time ever, okay? Mm-hmm. My first time.
You couldn't wait. You couldn't
wait. It wasn't on purpose.
Yeah, it's okay. You like being old. You've been trying to be old your whole life. It's the only way to go. So I don't know why you're in denial about this shit. I knew you were going to do it when we walked in the house. I was like, here she go. Trying to be old. Oh, baby. And then she told Karen. Then she was talking to Layla. She's like, and I know we old. So then, and then Layla was like, I don't think y'all old.
Yeah, like, Layla's like, y'all ain't old.
And I was like, she can't wait to be old. Just give her this, Layla. Just call her old. She want to be old so bad. Gil says, when calling that other family, y'all ate yet? Yes. Mm. Oh, yes.
Oh, when you're doing multiple trips.
Mm-hmm. Or you just, yeah, you called, y'all ate yet? And like, oh, come on, we got play. We ready over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's how you have a family that you have enough food for the whole weekend because y'all done went to 3 houses. And you know what the next one is? I'm not cooking when we get home. I'm not cooking this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's when people, everybody get home from all them motherfucking plates. Don't ask me for no food.
Is insert name here coming? That's a good one too.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely want to know who all gonna be there. And lastly, who made the potato salad? You know she's pregnant, right?
Oh no!
man, you got a messy family.
Is that your new boyfriend slash girlfriend slash significant other? You bringing another one up in here?
Hard head make a soft ass. In my day, we used to have a saying, no romance without finance. And now I remember it and it tells a fucked up story. That last one I've seen, the hard head makes a soft ass is not a Thanksgiving saying. That's just a black saying. I feel like that could happen any day. And you know she's pregnant, right? Is definitely your family messy. Your family messy as shit.
Who wrote that? Somebody from Black Twitter?
Right. Your family messy as fuck.
Your family gonna be on what is that? That Thanksgiving clapback?
You're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to do that.
And every time they do the Thanksgiving clapback, I be like, oh, y'all niggas lying because ain't none of y'all going to jail. Ain't none of your family members going to jail from some of the fight bringing out.
That's somebody's messy, Ani. Yeah. All right. Lastly, we got some emails to talk about. Best of Christmas with Rod. This is from Preston, who says the after credit jingles were hilarious. Thanks, Preston. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate you. Let's see. Avocado Colorado says Rod Christmas song ad. Bruh, I'm dead. I thought KTG ad reads were hilarious, but you took it to a new level. Love it. Thank you, Avocado mm-hmm. Colorado. You know, try to do a little something different every once in a while, and I'm glad y'all were digging it. And nobody can do, you know, I'll never try to do what KTG does, because nobody can do angry, like, I'm trying to get you this deal. What is wrong with you? Like Keith Malley.
Nobody can. You're going to get an angry deal, but you're going to get that deal, though.
By the end of the read, I'm always like, should I get the magic spoon? I'm sorry. I didn't mean no disrespect, player.
No disrespect.
I didn't know I wasn't living my best life.
Should I purchase them and have them sent to you?
Right. So, but no, I love their ad reads, too, man. Yeah, definitely, like, we like doing live ad reads because, to me, they're the most fun.
They are,
but,
aren't they?
Also, like, they give you a chance to be unique and different, and thank y'all to people that use the code mm-hmm. and people that enjoyed the commercials and gave us feedback on it, because it just gives me more ideas to do other stuff in the future.
Yeah, it does. And for the Manscaped, it ain't just made for men, it's made for everybody. And I know, you know, we've been promoting it for men, but it's literally made for anybody. If you got hair down there, it's right. made for you.
It does. That's true. David writes, Dear Rod and Karen, 7 minutes and 48 seconds into the episode, I had to pause to type out this email, episode 2449. How dare Miss Easy E, if that's her real name, I think he meant Evie, slander my good name in order to defend such an outlandish establishment. While I admire her determination to not equivocate on her Arby's opinion, it is misguided. If Arby's is as good as she claims, shouldn't every item on the menu be flames? Right. Right. Her thing was, you haven't tried the items that are the flames yet. It's like, now what kind of restaurant has items that ain't flames? Sound like a whack one. I've never heard anyone complain about this with Chick-fil-A's menu, only their politics. Oh yeah, that's true, but trust me, you don't want to hear those people. They'll lie and tell you that the food not good. So I don't know, maybe it's different in different locations, but the quality of the Chick-fil-A has never been the problem down here. It's always just their politics.
Mm-hmm.
Upon hearing both the response from Miss Barnes and Miss E, I decided to conduct more research and purchase one of the so-called high-dollar menu items during peak lunchtime hours. Rod, cue the music. I don't know which music. Again, I was unimpressed by the taste of their meats. Oh, I don't know about music, but I'll play this.
I've been right about all of it! We've been right about all of it! Woo! Yes! Yes!
Mm-hmm.
That makes me laugh. That clip kills me.
Upon hearing both the response, oh yeah, so I was unimpressed by the taste of their quote-unquote meats. The meats lacked seasoning. Perhaps Arby's in Fayetteville had budget cuts because no one bothers to eat there. In the meantime, both Evie and Miss Barnes will be hearing from my lawyer regarding this egregious defamation of my character. Oh, and if the Arby's CEO is cutting y'all check for false advertising, let a brother know. This paralegal shit don't pay me enough. I'll let y'all know if we ever get that check. Y'all definitely hear a total change of tone on the show.
We gonna have all the meats.
We're like, brought to you by Arby's, the most delicious meats in the world. They got the meats. Like, I can't wait to sell out. Speaking of checks, can we get some more black capitalism, please? Yeah, I do have articles I save, I just haven't been using them. Please feature EVE and Miss Barnes because of how much they selling out to the white man over this Arby's nonsense. Right, it's not even black owned. I bet they racist and prejudiced too.
I hope they not.
I know Arby's not list. That would be
funny. Arby's is like, look, we sell the meats to everybody.
I went too far. I take that back. That was fucked up.
Arby's is like, we just sell the meats. That's all we doing.
Arby's be open on Sundays. I know they good people. I'm sorry, Arby's. Mm-hmm. That was too much, and I apologize to y'all, and I'll order a big beef Mexican melt or whatever y'all have there.
I don't think that's on their menu.
I hope you and your family had a lovely Thanksgiving. Thanks, David. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry they did you like that. Mr. Span writes in.
What's up, Mr. Span?
Span Report Podcast. I'm just now getting a chance to listen to episode 2448 where you guys got to talking about the release of the new COVID pills as an additional means to treat and get rid of it, and I wished I had the same level of hopefulness that Karen has concerning its use, only because I feel like unless it's mandated, it will be treated the same way the shots are being treated now. It seems as though the mandates are the only thing that's going to help this process along. My company sent us an email last week stating that they would be following Biden's vaccine executive order because as utility workers, we're technically a federal contractor, and because of that, people are going to have to get vaccinated by the 22nd of December or perhaps find a new job at the turn of the year.
Come on.
They even offered us $750 bonuses for showing proof of vaccination.
Oh, let's go.
Yeah, I just don't
Nigga,
know
how. I get $750 for a motherfucker free shot. Here you go.
Yeah, how do you turn it down just based off of that alone? You gotta have some real hangups about it. And I just shook my head as I listened to niggas in the locker room arguing over why they shouldn't have to take it and how unfair it is. They were doing a lot of tough talking, but reality was setting in. They were going to have to get vaccinated if they wanted to stay here.
Right.
And quite a few of them started making it up in their commands a couple of days later to go ahead and get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward. 2 days after we got the initial email from the company CEO about following the mandate, we got a new one stating that the Biden administration was giving an exception to utility workers, so we wouldn't be mandated to get the vaccinated. But for those who chose not to get vaxxed, they would have to submit weekly testing. That $750 bonus for those who were vaxxed was still on the table, though, and every last one of the dudes who said they would go and get vaccinated said, fuck it, they have to do... I guess they don't have to do the shit now and would just submit to the testing at this point.
Daily testing too.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any people that the peer pressure is to say I ain't gonna get it, but then they like low-key get it for that $750.
I think some of them do. Yeah, $750,
because that's like a PlayStation and some games at this point. No matter how much information you give them, there's a misinformation campaign giving them just as much, and it's almost becoming a lost cause talking to them. Sorry for the long email, but I just want folks to know just how far we had to get people on board to help bring an end to this damn pandemic. Great show as always, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Mrs. Fan.
Yeah, and I understand what you're saying. I think for some people, they're still going to argue against it regardless, but it's like I personally think that they're trying to make it where we don't have any excuses, because some people will never admit they're just afraid of shots. So we're going to make it where you can take a pill. We're going to make it where you can shoot up your nose. We're going to do all these other mean shit. I don't care if they make it where they drop it in your ear. Whatever it takes, we're going to make it so you will be able to do something, so that when we turn the switch and say we're moving on without you, when we turn the switch and say now coronavirus is a pre-existing condition, when we flip the switch and you know you paying smoker's rate, when we do all that shit, it's going to be all on you. When we flip the switch and guess what, the shots ain't free no more, when we start implementing these things because we want to move on as a society, it's gonna be all on you. When you be like, oh shit, I guess I'll go get the shot, you walk up in there and they gonna be like, yeah, we're gonna have to run this through your insurance now. When you walk up there, they be like, yeah, it's $100 copay or whatever. When you walk up in there, they're like, yeah, you're gonna have to, you know, pay us the full cost of the shot. When that shit start happening, they're making it where you don't have an excuse to blame nobody but yourself.
He also said a correction real quick. In my last email, I said the Biden administration had made an exemption for utility workers in regard to the vaccine mandate. However, I learned later that the executive order was paused by the courts. It's just the way my company worded the email and when they sent it out to us that made it seem that way. My bad. So I guess there's not an exemption. It's just a court case pending.
Mm-hmm. So guess what? Until that's lifted, them niggas gonna have to get that shot.
Well, it depends. A lot of times court cases like that will stay the order, so that basically until they reach a conclusion in the courts, okay, you don't have to get the shot.
Okay, so they don't let the rule go forward and then decide. They like, well, the stay means everything can stop.
Yeah.
And then once the decision is made, that's when you decide to or not.
Yeah, a lot of times that's how it normally and should typically work. The only recent exception I can think of is the Texas abortion law, where the Supreme Court did the opposite of that for like one of the first times ever, where basically the law that violates constitutional rights stays on the books until the Supreme Court hears the case. And so that's why everybody's like, this is unprecedented. It's a takeover of the Supreme Court.
Right.
All that stuff. COVID toes. John writes in, hi Rod, just wanted to chime in as someone who sort of had COVID toes.
Oh no, baby.
Chilblains is a medical condition where your extremities get really cold and then they warm up too fast, like a hot shower. The surge of blood damages cells and triggers an immune response. It's common in cold, wet places, and I think it's mentioned in a couple of Charles Dickens novels. The very same week that we shut down in March 2020 due to COVID arriving in the U.S., I had this happen with my toes during a really cold week, after being outside coaching at night. I went to a podiatrist and got my blood tested for gout and other possibilities, but everything was negative and nobody could figure it out until finally a colleague of my podiatrist mentioned chilblains, which seems like the culprit. Chilblains usually resolves itself after a few weeks, but may come back and it can do long-term permanent damage in worst-case scenarios.
Ooh.
About a month after my toes are back to normal, the studies from Italy started showing that COVID toes are popping up around the kids and adults with no other COVID symptoms. So my doctor encouraged me to get a COVID antibody test, which came back negative. The antibody tests at that time weren't very accurate, and now I'm vaccinated, so I'll never know whether I had chilblains from unusually cold, wet weather, like mostly, or COVID toes, but either way, most likely, okay, mm-hmm. Or COVID toes, but either way, they're excruciatingly painful and I could barely walk for a week and I had to take several days off work. It's definitely the kind of thing that could really mess up a career professional athlete like Aaron Rodgers. Even if that's all you get from COVID, it's plenty of reason to get vaccinated.
Ooh.
Yeah, and like I said, I believe Aaron Rodgers cleared it up and he just has a fractured toe, which is also crazy that he's gonna play Sunday, but yeah, I guess he can do that. But he called it COVID toes. The media was like, damn, this nigga got COVID toes, what the fuck, like that's a real thing. And then he made then he mocked the media by showing his foot like it's just a fractured toe.
But you said it
right.
Misinformation. How you gonna give them the wrong information? That like something wrong with them for repeating what you said.
But that's the kind of problem that we're in right now. We're dealing with people that are contrarians, but they're masquerading like they're thoughtful people.
Mm-hmm.
And everything in their mind proves their point. So he's like, I did misinformation and y'all believed me. Doesn't that prove this is all fake and all the hype around coronavirus is this and that? And it's like,
no,
it doesn't prove that at all. It just proves you're still a liar. P.S. When you read that story about the singer pissing in the guy's mouth at the concert, my first thought was that might be the same guy in the Alfonso Rivera video that screams, yes, they mentioned at the mention of white pussy. PPS, I love the Sisters in Law podcast. Their Rittenhouse and Arbery analysis was really helpful. Subscribing to them for sure. Cheers, John. Yeah, Sisters in Law.
Very educational because they actually take, because I listen when Roger went in the car, they actually take a lot of, I'm not trying to be funny, y'all, a lot of very complex shit that happens in law and break it down where you be like, okay, I see you. It's almost like, okay, I see why they came to that verdict. Okay. what you're saying makes sense. Okay. And isn't, you can still be angry, you can still be upset, but you have a better understanding of how they came to certain conclusions. Regardless if you agree with them or not, it opened up my eyes to how the system is run, because the average person is not a lawyer, so you don't know them big ass words and them, you know, thousand page, you know, dissenting arguments and shit like that. I don't know how none of that works.
Yeah, I just really like that show. Is it's informative, but it's also like, depending on how many, which guests are there, which women are hosting that week, but these are very accomplished lawyers and prosecutors and defense attorneys. They've seen every side of these things. When they don't agree, it's still very civil, because I think that's part of the profession. They're just so smart, and they're still, to me, they still feel like they're on the side of fairness and justice. Like, they don't do the thing of like, well, I'm a conservative, so I have to argue against you. Like, they're just on the side of like what's right for people. And I love like how they analyze stuff, and a lot of times they prepare me for shit. So like, I didn't follow Dylann Roof shit pretty much at all. I just couldn't. It wasn't for me. I totally understand and respect people that chose to follow it. Right. And I respect the emotions of the people that were hurt by it, you know, especially if you're black. But it wasn't one of my things. That was one of the ones I was like, no, not that one.
Right.
But they talked about the machinations and the judges' rulings and stuff, like, for, I think, a couple weeks, like, as the trial went on. And to me, they were preparing me for the, like, yeah, he probably getting off.
Right.
And here's the reasoning why. Because I kept thinking, like, there was that one charge with the gun, and I was like, there's pretty much nowhere around it. And while they were like, yeah, the ruling and the logic of it kind of contradicts itself and doesn't make sense, but without that charge, there's not much to hold them on.
Right.
And so I appreciate them for stuff like that, because I don't like consuming daily content about trials and
I can't do
stuff
it.
Like that. I couldn't even do it with Ahmaud Arbery, the killers of Ahmaud Arbery and the trial over that. I couldn't do it. Anyway, and shout out to the people that did. Like I said, this is literally not me trying to be on some I'm better than y'all, y'all what's wrong with y'all type shit. I think we all make these choices every day, especially as black people, about the ones we're like, I'm not doing it, and the ones where we're like, I gotta see everything about this. And it's been a long time since I felt that way about any trial dealing with racial justice that I wanted to follow the daily machinations. I honestly can't think of the last time. And I don't consume that kind of shit as entertainment.
I don't. It is called Sisters-in-Law, right?
Yeah, it's called Sisters-in-Law.
Okay.
Wow, what's wrong?
No, they're trying to find it, and I was
yeah, okay. Sisters-in-Law. Let me look on my Spotify to make sure, because I'm following them. Yeah, it's hashtag Sisters-in-Law. My bad. Hashtag Sisters-in-Law, all one word.
Okay.
So that might help you if it's not coming up.
No problem.
But
and I gave it, but I wanted to be sure I sent the right one. That's why I asked.
But yeah, Joy Vance, Jill Winebanks, Barb McQuay, and Kimberly Atkins, and they do such great work. And I think their episodes come out every Saturday, and so it's a favorite. It's a go to of mine on the weekends to kind of, you know, think about the things that happen through the week. All right, two more emails. Dave Chappelle's induction of Jay-Z speech. This is from our girl, Profess LCH.
Linda Charlemagne Harris.
Dearest Roderick. So this was just for me. Karen, see yourself out. I know Dave Chappelle's stubborn old black ass man antics are tarnishing his image and legacy, but I just rewatched his induction speech of Jay-Z, and seriously, I think of you, my brothers, and others who've made a way out of no way. I even think of me and my professional walk. Being black in America is not as easy as it looks. How brilliant is that line? No matter who you look at, from President Obama to Ahmaud Arbery, it's a devastating fit. Or this, American pie is not made out of apples, it's made out of whatever you can get your fucking hands on.
Come on.
She put effing. Come on, truth, she wrote.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you watched it or won't because you're pretty done with him, but I've linked it below. It's a reminder, not that any of us need it, of Dave's brilliance. And as someone who loves stubborn old black ass men, even if I cannot take or sometimes loathe them and their refusal to be anything but, I'm reminded how much we want them to return to their former greatness, or at least try to reach it before they die filled with resentments, regrets, and lost opportunities.
Right.
I adore you and your wife. Happy holidays. Yours in TBGWT, Linda Charlamagne Harris. And she did include a link to it, and I did watch it. I'm not boycotting Dave or canceling him. It's not even, for me, it's not so like, I'll never listen to this nigga talk about anything. I'm not that kind of emotional person. Mm-hmm. Could be Gen X shit, I don't know. But I get other people that's the way they protect their emotions. I'm not knocking it, but it was never on the table for me to be like, I'll never hear anything this man says, you know. That being said, I hadn't heard this yet until you sent the link, and so I watched it, and yeah, it was good. I mean, he's basically talking about race. He was very funny. He starts with a piece of paper saying, I'd like to apologize to, and then he's like, I'll just plan. And then he does the induction speech. I mean, you know, that's the thing. I'll never say that somebody's not talented, brilliant, genius.
Right.
Just because I disagree with them. And I think, because to me, if I say something like that, that is a statement of fact. You know what I'm saying? Like, I believe, like, I'm an honorable person. I believe when I said that. You going back and being repugnant or something like that, I'm, you know, having an opinion I disagree with, I'm not gonna ever lie to myself, because that's what I think people really do.
Yes.
I'm not gonna lie to myself because I have more integrity than that.
That's not gonna erase what you did.
To try to erase this person, mm-hmm. and everything positive that they've ever done, everything right. I enjoyed. I just, you know, but as a human being, you know, it's a little bit disappointing. Mm-hmm. You know,
I think for you that's more what it is than anything.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. a little disappointing because it's not like I know this nigga to be disappointed in him personally, but just mm-hmm. as a fan of the work, it's like, oh, I don't feel this work is at the level before, and that's it. But yeah, man, I mean, Dave's one of those people I could listen to talk about shit a lot of times. I haven't really checked out his podcast, but I bet it's good. The one he's doing with Mos Def and Talib Kweli, I bet it's good. I just think he got stuck in a rut on some of this shit, but yeah, I checked it out. And honestly, man, I love Jay-Z, and I really thought a lot of the shit he took over that NFL shit was very unfair. You know, that's something that a lot of people didn't like, that I was saying those things, and you know, that, like, I got my stubborn black ass man shit too, where it's like, yeah, okay, well, y'all niggas don't like me, I'm getting old anyway, fuck it. That's, you know, sometimes I just don't want to be with the crowd because I literally think the crowd is wrong, and that was one of the times I think the crowd was wrong and very short-sighted. And you can tell, because these niggas was applauding like shit when Jay-Z got in the Hall of Fame, because they didn't mean not a goddamn word they said 2 years earlier. They didn't mean it. Some people, if you're lucky in life and you're good at what you do, some people become institutions.
Yeah, they do.
And when you become an institution, people think you're not human anymore. They look at you like the sun, the moon, the earth. They just expect it to always be there. And when you expect something to always be there, you can curse the moon, you can curse the sun, you can curse the earth, because it don't matter, because the earth is gonna be there tomorrow whether you curse it or not.
Right.
And I think that's how people feel about someone like Jay-Z, Dave Chappelle, all these people. Is like, we get to be mad at them, but we expect this person to not feel it and to just continue to exist and ignore us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think seeing him get his flowers while he's still alive, get into this illustrious space, and for Dave to make the point that Jay-Z is still ours as black people in hip-hop culture,
mm-hmm.
that's a big point, because it's a thing that happens with all this white accolades, right, award shows and shit, is this idea of like, well, you know, Prince transcended race and shit. And it's like, no nigga. There's no such thing.
Prince was a nigga.
You just like a nigga now.
Right.
Figure it out. Go to therapy. But you like one of us. We didn't transcend shit. You transcended your bigotry.
Right.
Whiteness transcended its racism. The only motherfuckers that's ever supposed to be in there. Y'all just started letting hip hop people in the fucking Hall of Fame for rock and roll, but it's us transcending. No, it's you transcending. So I appreciated the point that he made, and yeah, I thought it was very good, very poignant, and I thank you for sending it. If you're listening, you know I have tremendous respect for Professor LCH, and one of my favorite people. So anytime she writes in, I'm gonna always give it a chance. But yeah, I'm not there with Chappelle where it's like, this nigga talking, like I'm not there. Maybe I'll get there.
He said something. Right.
That's just not my general disposition to be like that. Lastly, we get last one from Lakita, who says, general love, dearest Bob and K Boogie. This is a generic email that I've been meaning to sit down and type for such a long time, but after losing my family member to COVID the other day, it reminds me to give people their flowers while it's here to accept them.
Oh, sorry about that, baby.
Yeah, definitely sorry for your loss. Mm-hmm. I recently had a thought. If nothing lasts forever, that holds true for the joy and the laughter I get to share with you guys. Y'all are a big part of my life these days, and the folks in the chat are my internet cousins, and the blackout tits is legit one of my favorite parts of the day, especially pre-games balls deep, because behind the paywall, TBGWT is the shit.
Thank you. Woo-hoo.
Anyone who doesn't get to see our problematic cousin in his element is truly missing out. I'm gonna be so sad when this podcast ends, but I'd be perfectly happy knowing y'all are happy. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'm not planning to end it anytime soon. Mm-mm. So we have a great time. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I make money this way, that we come here and talk shit and money just comes in for us doing this. Mm-hmm. There are so many shows that wish they could do what we're doing.
Don't
they? And there's almost zero shows that did it the way we did it.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? No cosign, no label, nobody fucking telling us what we can and can't do, no engineers, no studio, just us. We did it. It's just our black ass opinions. Mm-hmm. And people like it enough to really stick with us through the good and the bad. Mm-hmm. And people love us for it.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to y'all. We keep saying, like, the y'all make the boat afloat. It's literally y'all.
Yeah, there's so many opportunities. I think if we didn't have the money, I would have considered that we've been able to look at each other and be like, this isn't the right fit for us. And it's only because we have y'all. Mm-hmm. I know you hear this all the time, but listening to you guys has really made me grow. I spotted my inner transphobia and really examined it. One of my best friends said to me, if my man cheated on me with a he/she, that nigga definitely gay. I'm a person who loves to why somebody to death until they see their own errors. I just wired her until she said, okay, damn, bitch, you get on my nerves. I feel like that's pretty much my whole vibe, by the way. I feel like whenever I do decide to get, you know, to talk to somebody, because I'm not gonna lie, I don't always pick that path. Mm-mm. There's a lot of times somebody say some ignorant shit and I'm just like, okay, this moment will pass and we can get back to whatever we were doing. But sometimes I will, and I know when they can see, because I normally don't say it about something that unless I'm pretty sure the logic is right. And normally it's just kind of like, well, I know you're right, but damn. And it's like, all right, I'll take that. Laugh my ass off. It was important to me for her to see how she was wrong. She hates that quality in me. She asked me a few months ago, why are you always trying to break down my conspiracy theories? I told her because she's my friend.
Conspiracy theories.
And I can't have her walking around saying dumb shit.
Right. Use your brain.
Still start and chill. You got to take care of each other. Many of us tell you that Karen is our favorite and we know she's always yours, but a large majority of your audience is black women and Karen equal us. Her fears, concerns, joys, etc. are often representative of how we feel, and thank you for marrying her. I mean, you know, I'm thankful as well.
I am thankful to, and in fact, I chose him.
Yeah, that's true.
I knew what I wanted.
That's true. You asked me out. One of my favorite parts of this podcast is that y'all are respectful of each other and don't talk over each other, because I cannot stand it. I cut that shit off with the quickness because it starts to sound like a clusterfuck, but that might be some personal shit. LOL. You're always encouraging Karen to say her piece. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate my husband. And it's one of those things where, regardless of what walk of life that you're in, you can always have privilege, even though you don't always see it. And I didn't realize how much privilege that I had being married to my husband, because my husband is very, I don't want to say hippy dippy, but he's really laid back when it comes to me. He's like, that's what you want to do, do it. You know, when it comes to my hair, you know, he done been with me through it all, through the finger waves, through the Jerry curls, through the, you know, salt and pepper cuts, through the, through the Tony Braxtons, you know, through the 18 inch weave, through the buns. And he's like, you want to cut it? You want to color it? He was like, you like it? I love it. And I really do appreciate him, because, even when I went natural and I did the big chop, a lot of women would be like, you know, what did your husband say? And I get offended. I'm looking like, I don't care how he feels, you know, and they look at like something's wrong with me, but saying I don't care how he feels about my hair, you know. And I think that, I know that might sound simplistic, but hair can cause a lot of couples to fall out and argue and you know, and fuss and things like that, unless, you know, they're on the same page about those types of things. But my husband has given me the freedom to just, you know, do things. And sometimes too, over the years on this particular show, and shout out to the audience, y'all have kind of encouraged me. Once I realized, and particularly black women started writing in going, I love your voice, Karen, you know, you take the way I feel and you kind of compress it into words that I don't know how to say. I started beginning to be more confident, beginning to be more stronger in my voice, and, you know, just me evolving and growing as a woman doing this in front of you guys for the past 12 years. And so I realized too that for a lot of people, I'm almost too outspoken, so they don't want to come to me, so they kind of go at Roderick, you know, almost like to get me, so he can kind of quote unquote step in and get me to act right. But what is acting right in a marriage? You know, so, you know, it's one of these things, you know, I don't control him, he don't control me. But a lot of people treat marriage and relationship like control. Like, you know, I got a point, you got a point. I'm married to you, you are my lover. You know, we got to look each other in the faces when these cameras go off. Right. What do you do then? Like, it's really fun to put on the show, but when all these lights and cameras and everything go off, we got to look at each other, and I'm remembering what you said and you remembering what I said, and then we got to have a real conversation off mic.
Yeah, I remember a couple of things, but there was this one woman that wrote in a long time ago, and mm-hmm. It was this very mean thing about, like, I don't understand why he's with her. He's da 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 da. And, you know, she's not reading all these books and all this shit. And I was like, what the fuck do the books have to do with a fucking marriage, nigga? We're not doing a book report. It's not a homework assignment, dude.
We got a book club.
We not in a study group. What the fuck is wrong? That's so ridiculous.
I don't want no homework.
Oh my God. But, and then, you know, we have different responsibilities, different shit we do mm-hmm. during the day. Like, it's just, people are so ridiculous. It's, oh my God. It's like, what these books got to do with this pussy? You know what I'm saying? But nah, it was just so ridiculous. But,
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, I think that's one of the things that has drawn people to us, is that we talk to each other with respect. It's to mm-hmm. the point where, honestly, this is such a foreign thing to most people. They think is that we're wishy-washy, or we're forcing each other to agree, or when we start on one page and you start on another page, or I start on one page and you start on another page, and those pages come together to understanding, they see that as, look at this, she go back and down, she don't never had no opinions or something like that. And I'm always like, what you just watched was civil discourse. Ain't nobody in this motherfucker forcing nobody to have no opinions, period. Because at the end of the day, most of this shit don't matter. What the fuck we think about Kyrie Irving, even if we disagreed tremendously, it's not like we leave the, oh well, fuck divorce time now, like, right? It don't matter. It's like, what you're seeing is people going, it don't ultimately matter. I'm not gonna be mad at you because we didn't come to agreement on a fucking topic. And just in general, I think a lot of people are just so used to this world of like harsh talking to people, mm-hmm. and harsh talking to each other, and
right, even the people that you love, just nasty and just mean to people, and because they think that is actually what they have their opinion to do. But talk to me nicely,
right?
Don't talk to me crazy, and don't talk to me any old kind of way, because that's the thing. Me and Roger's been long enough, but Roger knows me personally, my personality, and I know his personality. And the way some of y'all talk to each other, I would cuss y'all smooth the fuck out, because y'all don't talk to each other nicely.
She's still an Aries, you know, y'all listen to her. She's a passionate person. She's a cauldron of hot fire, okay, ready to blow at any moment. And I'm just like a bomb technician over here, you know, just cutting the blue wire, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying not to sweat. You know,
yeah,
and no, I'm just kidding. But
most of the time,
in general, but not in general though. I think if I was on here disrespectfully cutting you off and belittling you and shit like that, I think people would receive it. But here's the thing: I realize everybody brings their own experience to what you're experiencing right now.
Mm-hmm.
None of the people listening to this are experiencing the same show at the same time.
Mm-mm.
Depending on what trauma you've experienced, what relationships you've had, which ones worked out, which ones don't, you're having completely different experiences about the same thing. So there's some people that are watching this and they're like, you know what, the men in my life, they was manipulative and gaslighting, and they would make it seem like they wanted the best for me, but really they was pieces of shit, and they was cheating on me and abusive towards me and controlling. And so they listen to this, and that's what they hear. Because they like, Rob was being controlled in that last part, because then he said this, and then she agreed, and that means he tricked her into agreeing, because she can't possibly mean that. Or, you know, the dudes that have issues with women and hate women and shit, mm-hmm. they listen to this cuck-ass nigga talking about some feminism and some, oh, so what? You can't take a joke? You know, they hear that shit, and they mm-hmm. think, and I've watched some of their comments, and it's always some, this nigga trying to get that feminism money, because they can't possibly believe that I just think, you know what, fairness shouldn't be determined by whether the fuck you have a dick or a vagina or what gender you identify as or what. Like, reading a book won't hurt me at fucking 43, dog, to learn some new shit. It won't, all the concepts I had before this, what I'm gonna do with them, you know? And so you have that shit, you know, you got people that they used to seeing people fight.
Yes.
And so when they hear us,
that's
what
they think love is.
Yeah, and they think something wrong with us. Like, why aren't you passionately fighting each other?
Yeah, they think something wrong with us.
And that's what I find annoying and amusing. I mean, that's what I find amusing in my relationships, and that's what I want to see in yours. And honestly, to a certain extent, that's why to do something like what we're doing, you got to be like, man, fuck everybody. Good and bad. Fuck everybody. We just going to do ourselves. Hopefully reasonable people will get down with it and be like, yo, okay, I see where they coming from. I don't want to do the other show. There's so many podcasts with romantic partners arguing, and you know, mm-hmm. that's a whole thing, is he thinks like a man, I think like a woman, and we get on the mic and we argue about it. And
so many of those shows,
so many shows like that. There's show the religious angle, there's mm-hmm. shows from there's so many shows. Just go listen to one of them. You know, but I appreciate the love, and mm-hmm. and I know that Karen, like, that's what's so funny is one of the main critiques I've seen is, well, you know, Rod just need to do his own show. And I'm always like, one, some of this should be coming from women, which I find that's crazy. But okay. I don't want to do my own show by myself. Number one, I don't think that's a thing I'm into necessarily. But then two, it wouldn't be this show anymore. Mm-mm. I like this show. I like what we make. It's a choice we make creatively together every day we do this these episodes. Mm-hmm. So I like I don't hear this anywhere else.
Oh no.
I have never heard somebody shit that sound like ours. You know, there's people that do pop culture, there's people that do politics, there's people that do shows they husband and wife. They shit don't be popping like our shit be popping, in my opinion. And I'm proud of what we've made.
Mm-hmm. Right. And also is one of those things to where our perspective is our perspective, because going back to some of the things you said before, people actually used to write in and ask us, like you say, why don't we argue? Why don't we fuss? Yeah. Why don't we fight? And we're like, because, and I've had people even ask me that in real, you know, mm-hmm. in real life. And I've come to the conclusion that me and Roger could just eyeballs, and a lot of people fussing and fighting and arguing is just part of relationships. People I had to learn that, because they act like something's wrong with us when I'd be like, guess what? I am a goddamn adult, and what you not gonna motherfucking do is yell at me.
People be like, why don't you take a side, he take a side, and then y'all fight about it. It's like, cause not debate club. Like, what the fuck? I don't wanna do that. Go find the shows that do that. It's a bunch of you hacky motherfucker. Go find a hack ass show that do that. I don't wanna do that. That's not my goal in life. So, let me finish it. I'm sorry. This mm-hmm. is a big tangent. Mm-hmm. And then as far as not cutting people off, I don't like it when I listen to podcasts and they cut each other off all the time. So I don't want to do that. And I know that that does make good TV and good podcasts. I guess we just have to make bad podcasts. I don't like it. And I know, yeah, that's a thing for a lot of people.
Right.
Whatever.
I want people to get their thoughts out. Right. You know, I've listened to a lot of podcasts I love, where somebody's saying something and they're actually making a good point, and somebody interjects, and next thing you know, they're on a tangent. I'm like, well, shit, I wanted to see, you know, where that thought process was going.
And I tell Karen all the time, like, feel free to cut me off, you know, if you
yeah,
because
it's the opposite. I don't
want
to jump in.
I don't want to jump in when you're talking, but I know there's a flow to conversation, and there's, you know, mm-hmm. we're human. We repeat ourselves. We fucking, we do shit. We, you know, like people get upset about idiosyncrasies. Like, oh, you know, this motherfucker always says this thing and this phrase. Like, you would too if you talked a couple hours a day, 4-5 times a week.
Yes.
No one special. No. Everybody got their thing. You gonna,
it's just not recorded for you.
You gonna say the thing about it is, you gonna say whatever you're gonna do.
At the end of the day.
Yeah, you gonna do it too. I don't know why you think you fucking figured out the fucking cues, the Rubik's cues on talking. Everybody does it.
And on a low, for people that have listened to this show long enough, me and Roger don't agree on a lot of things, but the way we talk to each other, it actually doesn't sound like a disagreement. And so I think that's what tricks people's mind into thinking we don't ever not.
Yeah.
We always agree. It's a lot of shit we don't agree on.
Yeah, the motherfuckers don't know how to take it. Mm-mm. Lastly, Karen, I bought the Amazon leggings, and yes, thank you for sharing. Y'all the bestest, Lakita.
Come on, leggings.
They be making them cheeks do what they do.
I love me some leggings. I ain't never going back.
Yeah, Amazon, they, listen, y'all ain't never gonna shut down Jeff Bezos, okay? Because Amazon leggings by itself could keep that man
in business
for the rest of his life. It's like, everybody likes how they cheeks look in them. Everybody likes to look at some cheeks in some Amazon leggings. That's probably the thing that's paying for all the same day shipping and shit.
Yeah, the Amazon leggings. And I'm like, can I get this in every color?
Right. Like, you see somebody out and about in them leggings, you'd be like, oh my God.
Did you get that from Amazon?
I didn't realize Instagram models was out here. Oh, that's just a regular person. Oh, wow. Look at these. All right. This week we have guest, Catherine Heller, who, it'll be her first time on our show, but
Yay!
She's actually a long time listener and a person I have wanted to get on the show for years. Just such a super nice person. And I used to listen to her podcast, The Struggle Bus.
Yes.
And so for years, and it's just one of those brain fart things where I would listen to the show, or I would, we follow each other on Twitter, and I see a funny tweet or something. I'm like, oh, I gotta get her on the show. And like, literally, like 20 minutes later, I'm just like, now who was I gonna get? I know it's somebody.
And you forget, yeah.
And just not following through. But finally, mm-hmm. I said, you know what? God damn it. It's time to be best friends. So we're going to have her on the show.
So excited.
Tomorrow at noon, for those who listen live, Eastern Standard Time. And it'll probably be kind of half interview, but she is a fan of the show. So we might get to get into some segments and news and stuff. And then JL Covan's going to be on the show Tuesday. He just finished recording his album, his live taping, which I don't know if it's 100% out yet, but you know, we'll be talking to this felt, JL Covan, who's been losing all this weight over there and breaking computers and shit. So I can't wait to kick it with my man. That's it for now. Thank y'all for listening, and we'll be back tomorrow, and we may do other episodes this week too. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Just really is playing it by ear. I know for sure 2 episodes. Mm-hmm. But been enjoying this laid back schedule lately. But we'll see. All right, y'all, until tomorrow. I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.